Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Yes, you do. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. What do you make of this? What do you make of this? Senator John McCain, visiting Iowa. I guess he has extra time. Visiting Iowa. Trying to rattle the cages and get the support out there for his presidential efforts. We already know that he sold his soul as evidence. How does a former prisoner of war allow torture, vote for torture? That shows how raw his political ambitions are. That is probably one of the most messed up things that I've ever heard of. A former prisoner of war, seriously injured prisoner of war, votes for torture. Votes for a government to allow torture. That's some messed up stuff. And maybe that explains what he said. Because when he was in Des Moines, Iowa, he joked yesterday that he would commit suicide if the Democrats win the Senate in November. Now, that again is some messed up stuff. And it's not messed up from the perspective of, you know, people can joke about whatever they want to joke about. And, you know, we have to evaluate them individually. But think about it from this perspective. That's how serious it is that you want to keep the majority? We don't have a government. We do not have a democracy. We have people fighting to be in the majority. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Equality and people mattered when the government was on our side. This November, you can vote to have the government on our side again by voting for Democrat Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senator and the Democratic team. Together, we will fight
for minority-owned businesses to get a fair share of federal contracts.
For a higher minimum wage, working families deserve to have ends meet.
For the best prescription drugs at the cheapest prices.
To provide a safety net for the people who need it most. Children and seniors.
To keep Missouri jobs in Missouri.
This is a critical year for Democrats in Congress. We need Claire McCaskill in the Senate and Democrats in office at all levels. Let's elect a government that'll fight for equality and fairness for a change.
I'm Claire McCaskill, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the Missouri Democratic Party and the Claire McCaskill for Senate campaign and authorized by the Claire McCaskill for Senate campaign.
Maple Temple Church of God in Christ presents its regular multimedia Sunday night radio broadcast at 8 o'clock every week here on WGNU. District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Everything will be all right.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. Remember the war in Lebanon? Do you remember the war against the Palestinians? Well, if you don't, doctors over there do. Doctors in Gaza have reported previously unseen injuries from Israeli weapons that cause severe burning and leave deep internal wounds, often resulting in amputations or death. These injuries were first seen in July, when Israel launched operations in Gaza following the capture of an Israeli soldier by Palestinian militants. The doctor said that unlike traditional combat injury, there was no large shrapnel found in the bodies, and there appeared to be a dusting on the damaged internal organs. One doctor described it as bodies arriving severely fragmented, melted, and disfigured. Internal burning of organs. While there were minute pieces of shrapnel. And when we opened many of the injured people, we found dusting on their internal organs. It's not clear whether the injuries come from a new weapon. The Israeli military declined to detail the weapons in the arsenal, but denied reports that the injury came from a new weapon called a dense, inert metal explosive, a dime, dropping a dime. There are some sick, twisted sons of guns out there. They call it a dime. In Gaza, the doctor said that the small pieces of shrapnel found in the patients' bodies don't even show up on X-ray. We are used to seeing shrapnel penetrate the body, making localized damage. Now we didn't see the shrapnel, but we found the destruction. How scary is that? Most of the injuries were around the abdomen. The doctors also found that the patients who were stabilized after 1 or 2 days suddenly died. The patient dies without any apparent scientific cause. In another city in Palestine, he found patients with severe internal injuries without any sign of large shrapnel pieces. This must be related to some type of explosive materials. The photographs of some of the dead from the hospital showed bodies that had been melted and blackened beyond recognition. In several cases, doctors amputated badly burnt limbs. The doctor said that most of the patients brought in during July showed signs of these injuries. And the health ministry in Gaza said that these injuries came from an unprecedented type of projectile. And he called for an investigation into the wounds. You have complete burns that lead to amputation. You find shrapnel entering the body, leaving very, very, very small holes. We have never seen this before. The United States says that this dime weapon is relatively new and it's still in the early stages of development. It has a carbon fiber casing, contains fine tungsten particles rather than ordinary metal shrapnel. It causes very powerful blasts, but with a much more limited radius than other explosives. Israel denies using this dime. Due to operational reasons, however, that they cannot specify the type and use of weapons in its possession. And in addition, it should be emphasized that IDF only uses weapons in accordance with international law. I don't know. Is this the world that we are living in? Well, apparently so. Answer my own question. Apparently so. Huh. That not only are unprecedented people dying, unprecedented number of people dying, but now we have to be concerned with, I don't know, the torture of new weapons. We have the rules and the regulations and the laws that allow for more torture in the year 2006. I guess my question is when does the pendulum swing back? Because this is some messed up stuff. And I want you to understand this. When some people raise the question of why do we go to war? What is in it? I think one of the most powerful lessons that this war in Iraq has provided is the lesson of why we go to war. We have seen astounding numbers of people become billionaires. War profiteering is a wonderful business for those evil enough to take it up. And when I say wonderful, I mean wonderfully profit-making. We have seen money disappear before our very eyes. War also offers the opportunity for future money making. How? You can try out new weapons while wars are going on, and then you sell those weapons to folks that buy weapons. Is it battle tested? You doggone Skippy. How do you sell new weaponry if it hasn't been battle-tested? Now, it's possible to sell some, but you sell more that has been battle-tested. And when you demonize people, nobody's going to, it's going to be very difficult to find people who care. When you've managed to demonize people, you demonize the Palestinians. You demonize the Lebanese. You demonize the Iraqis. And you tell lies about people in Africa. Well, you know, I guess a bullet is better than having to live the way that they were living there. These are extraordinary times, y'all. Extraordinary times. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget the International Urban Institute meets on Saturday. International Urban Institute meets at the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality right there at 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Southbound 270 on the ramp to westbound 70. There's an injury accident reported there. Southbound 270 at 370. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Westbound 270 at Graham Hanley. There's an accident. Two left lanes are getting passed. and traffic slows near West Flores on the eastbound 44 Soccer Park and 270. No problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270. Expect heavy volume in pockets. Northbound 270 from Sappington through Big Bend. Expect slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic as well. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect a clear shot right now. The Eads Bridge as well as King Bridge is looking good rolling into the landing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples a complimentary three-day, two-night hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Cooler showers likely today, high around 50 this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy, and a high in the lower 60s. Then on Saturday, partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers with a high in the lower 60s. Currently, we have clouds and 42 degrees, as does Lambert Field. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You want to know what you're going to get in me? Just a little touch of stock water cheese. And if that food right goes too far, it's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I see no open stress, is your love of the very best. Real out of town and silent.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Good Lord, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, huh? Huh. You think they're trying to scare us? And I guess when you don't have a whole lot, you go old school. You go to what's familiar. Or you just go with what you know. Let me just be frank. Go with what you know. Homeland Security. Remember them? Was this a red, orange, yellow, purple chartreuse alert going on? We haven't had any of those in a while, have we? Well, again, go with what you know. Homeland Security alerted authorities and stadium owners in 7 American cities that house 7 NFL football stadiums. Do not be afraid. Talked about stadiums in New York, in Miami, in Atlanta, in Seattle, in Houston, Oakland, and Cleveland. Homeland Security alerted authorities and stadium owners in those cities, as well as the NFL, said the threat was being viewed with strong skepticism. There is no intelligence that indicated such an attack was imminent, and the alert was out of an abundance of caution. Out of a abundance of a caution? Okay. Well, let's hear how they're bringing it to us. Let's hear how Homeland Security, the folks that waited 7 months before going and looking for the 13-year-old little girl who made a threat against the president, said we should kill George Bush, and it took him 7 months to get to her. Let's see how they're getting to this.
We judge that this threat is not a credible threat. We did share the information of this open source threat with state and local officials earlier today.
So we have
recommended to the stadiums and to local law enforcement to remain vigilant, but just as a matter of routine, this is the type of information that we do share with people at all levels. We feel that people should go about their plans. They should go to the NFL games if they have tickets for them. But we, again, don't see credible threat here.
Why are we hearing any of this? This is the administration that won't even tell you what kind, won't even say the things that they do to torture people because they don't want the enemy to know that they have these ways of torturing people. They are ratcheting up. They are starting to do their thing. The nation's alert level remains at yellow, signaling an elevated risk of attack. They need something. Here's the scary part, though. Here's the scary part to me. I will say troubling. Here is the troubling part to me. Karl Rove is saying, I'm not worried about anything. We're going to maintain our majority in both the House and the Senate. What does he know? And I don't mean that in a smart alecky way. I'm saying, does he know about some October surprise? Or maybe they've moved the surprise to November this year. And maybe the surprise is that maybe that's the surprise. It's not in October, it's in November. Carphone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Well, Ms. Brown, you got to give them credit, Ms. Brown. They got to find some reason to do something, Ms. Brown. Or say something with gas prices going back up again and a low season of hurricanes. Amazing, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing that it keeps going back up, Ms. Brown, and we didn't have any hit no hurricanes really this season.
No, we haven't.
But last year, Ms. Brown, we had a lot of hurricanes. They went up, they say it was cause of the hurricanes.
That
so what
is correct.
It cause now?
It's
a cause because we got a threat against our stadiums. That's what it
there,
is.
There you go. There you go.
Ms. Brown, you have a nice day, Ms. Brown. And it's rough, Ms. Brown. It's rough out here. We got to keep praying.
Got to keep fighting.
Yes, ma'am.
All right now. Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNUT.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know what the November surprise is? It's called e-vote. It's going to be all those electronic voting machines that's going to malfunction or don't work, or it's going to have a town that has 70 people in it vote Republican with 800,000 votes.
Mm.
You know what's going to happen. And then this terror stuff is only going to get bigger and bigger, these alerts and these so-called threats. But don't worry, because we want you to continue to spend money and go buy that goose for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's what the surprise is.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you had a chance to hear my show on Tuesday with Black Box Voting. Bev Harris, I believe is her name, Bev Harris from Black Box Voting came on the show to talk about what was going on with the machines and how people should be very concerned about what's happening. She said that they taught a monkey how to hack the machines. It's that simple. It's that easy to hack the machines. And she said that a Senator Kucinich has a solution to the whole voting thing, where we don't have to spend billions of dollars with these machines. The solution is that why don't you count the votes at the precincts? Why don't you hand count the votes at the precincts? Why do you ship? She said that there were cases in Ohio where the little card, the ballot boxes now have been reduced down into one little computer card. They were sending these computer cards to the Board of Elections to be counted in taxi cabs with no human being in them. They would put the card in an envelope and they put it in the back seat of a taxi. And they'd send the taxi to the Board of Elections. And go figure, 60 of those cards were lost in translation or in transportation.
See, and they make those rules acceptable for those kind of snafus to happen. And I'm sure that with a Republican macaca that they train how to use that e-vote machine.
Mm.
But those kind of situations that they make acceptable to put it in a cab is part of the theft.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it is, the people need to understand it is easy to count votes. And in fact, New Hampshire, 47% of their votes are going to be counted by hand. In Canada, their presidential ballots are counted by hand and their results are in 4 hours.
Well, look, after this bill, the Bush signed the other day, I got to get off this phone.
All right now. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. This voting thing, this vote counting thing can be done. Do you know that Diebold has, it's not just that Diebold has their hands on the election counting process with the ballot box. They also have it, they have their hands on it from the beginning to the end, the entire process. That's too scary. That is absolutely too scary. And you should be very, very, very concerned. And maybe the election surprise is, the October surprise is in November and it's on election day. We need to do what they did in Haiti. You need to go. Everybody that's voting on the non-Republican side of the ballot, you need to wear white to the polling places. You need to wear white so at least visually folks can see how things are going to go and are going to go down. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There are so many issues to talk about, so many issues to address. Barack Obama showed up on Oprah being coy about whether he's going to run for the United States presidency. Obama told Chicago television station that I couldn't even get a pass to the floor of the convention 4 years later. I'm giving the keynote. He didn't say whether he would what would happen 4 years after that. Oh, Lord. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me. To the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get washers? Are you going to get dryers? Are you going to get refrigerator stoves? Every single thing that you need to make your house a lovely home. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union, 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move. One day the engineer wanted a bite to eat. We let the monkey sitting on the...
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. Yes, you do. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You know, when we look at all of the things that are happening, when we look at things collectively, the things that are happening in our community, in our state, in our country, and we begin to tie the dots together, there's grave concern out here. I know that you've heard me say this many times, that we should be very, very concerned. But there are many of you out there that like to think of yourselves as independent type people. I appreciate that. I like to call myself an independent person. But I think that you're missing the boat, you're missing the point, you're not quite getting it. You need to submit yourself to the knowledge that, to the fact that a lot of things that you feel and that you think are a result of the information put into you by the environment that you live in. You may like to think that you have an independent sense of fashion, but the society tells you what fashion is.
Some of us work within the parameters of that. But the society that you live in, the messages that you get from the commercials out there, the pictures in the magazine, what you see other people wearing, those are the things that, largely determine your fashion sense. And you can measure that by it, when you see somebody dressed unlike anything that you've seen before, it's not often a positive response. You think of that person as an oddball. So you see fashion a certain way. All societies don't have men wearing ropes around their necks tied into knots. That's something that, this society has called a tie, and required that men wear in business settings. You think the NBA players get to do, they don't even, these are grown millionaires, multimillionaires, and their business is telling them, or the company that they work for is telling them what clothes they need to wear. Ridiculous. We don't decide those things. Largely, we don't. We work within the confines of the messages that are directed to us about how we should do that. And unless you are a fashion designer that comes up with ideas that aren't on the runway, aren't in the display windows, or on the shelves, it ain't you. You pick from what you got. I say all that to say that Fox Network is picking up a second series. It's called Suspicion. They've ordered a pilot for a drama called Suspicion. And what is it about? It's the second series that they have picked up about a civilian getting involved in national security. You understand what that means? It centers on a woman who becomes a reluctant heroine when she discovers her boyfriend is a terrorist. Now, you think that they picked up that pilot? Do you think Fox News Network picked up that pilot because everybody out there said, I'd like to see a television series with a woman who finds out that her boyfriend is a terrorist? Not only do they spin the news, they're spinning TV for you now. They want, you think that there is a reason why there are more criminal prosecution shows on television than there are criminal defense? You think that there's a reason why there are more cop shows on than there are peacemaker shows? You know, why aren't there television shows about somebody like a Martin Luther King or a Gandhi? Why? Ask yourself why. There is no coincidence. That is not a coincidence that there aren't. So you are being directed to feel, you are being directed to see, you are being directed to experience things in a certain way. Fox Television has ordered a pilot for a drama called Suspicion. I'm sorry, I'm always telling you about new ways that you have to look at the world and operate in the world. Well, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. And the reality is that the better we are warned about this, the better we deal with this. Because they are coming at you. They are absolutely coming at you in various and sundry ways.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Don't forget, in the next hour, Eye on the Lou, and the hour after that, Justice for Reggie. And then on Friday, we have the International Urban Institute. Meets at 9 o'clock at 1020 North. I'm sorry, Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North, Taylor, at the Firefighters Institute for Racial Equality. You need to come on down and be part of that, part of the solution. And because there has to be some kind of collective effort to fight back on this stuff. October surprises, November surprises, homeland security threats. Trying to get your mind to embrace a certain way of living, because a certain way of viewing the world. By showing you certain television shows. And one of the reasons that I share this with you is because there's more and more information that is coming out about how Homeland Security is monitoring, not them, but peace groups. Homeland Security is even peering into peace groups' emails. And this information is taken from the emails and then shipped to the Joint Terrorism Task Forces. Who's the Joint Terrorism Task Force? That's the FBI. That's state and local law enforcement. And let me give you an example of how this all works. On April 12, 2005... the Pentagon was concerned about suspicious activity at an upcoming event sponsored by the Broward Anti-War Coalition in Florida. The peace group was planning a, quote, guerrilla theater and other forms of subversive propaganda. That's what they said. The source of the information was the Miami-Dade Police Department and members of the Army Recruiting and Miami Joint Terrorism Task Force. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to understand the things that are coming at you. You need to understand them. Will.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you're on this subject, because, you know, when you put this in context with that legislation they just signed, that Bush just signed, the Military Commissions Act, in tandem now, you have legislation in an atmosphere where, as you like to say, are you scared yet, you know? Because, I mean, let's just take, for example, you, Liz, what you do, you know, and the people that you may threaten by giving the information that you do. What is to stop them? These people up here in the executive branch that has the ultimate determining factor as to who is and who is not considered a potential terrorist threat. Now they're able to, first of all, they can wiretap and listen to you, your private conversations, although if they tune into your show, they already pretty much know what they need to know about you. They can now simply consider you a terrorist threat, and they can pick you up off the street as an enemy combatant because you're aiding the enemy by speaking against the country, and then we don't know what happened to Liz Brown.
The good news and bad news, I guess, for folks.
Yeah. It's scary. It's scary, Liz.
All right.
It's scarier.
Thanks for your call. Earl.
Hey, Liz, you think the lady that interrupted George Bush last week has been put on a list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Andrew.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I think we're still at war from the first war we started.
All right now.
All right.
Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Eye on the Lou. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King.
was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush has a warning for North Korea.
If we get intelligence that they're about to transfer a nuclear weapon, we would stop the transfer, and we would deal with the ships that were taking the, or the airplane that was dealing with taking the material to somebody.
And if it happened, you'd retaliate.
It's a grave consequence.
The president in an exclusive interview with ABC News chief Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos. Now, the last time the president used the word grave to describe a response was just before U.S. troops went into Iraq. The communist government, though, isn't showing any signs of budging, says it will conduct another nuke test if it wants to. Is that what most North Koreans want, though?
So they say they would like to have a non-nuclear Korean peninsula, that the countries of the world have a right to nuclear weaponry, too, just like the United States. They specifically said that Iran had a right to nuclear materials.
ABC's Diane Sawyer in Pyongyang, North Korea. The president is heading to Virginia today to campaign for U.S. Senator George Allen, who is locked in a tight battle for re-election. The man who wants his job is also getting a VIP visitor. Former President Clinton will appear with Democrat Jim Webb. Was it a joke? This is what Arizona Senator John McCain said when he was asked what he would do if the Democrats took over Congress after the November elections.
I think I'd just commit suicide. I don't want to face that eventuality because I don't think it's going to happen.
The comment was made at a news conference in Iowa, and a lot of people say they weren't amused with it at all. Iowa, after all, is an important place for a presidential hopeful to be. Later, McCain said all he was trying to do was just add a little levity. Walmart says its prescription discount program is so successful, it is going to expand it. It's expected to announce today that 14 states will now offer the $4 prescription discount. This is ABC News.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event, with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Now, this story brings new meaning to the term die-hard fan. If you're a baseball devotee, you can take your allegiance to the grave. Here's ABC's Aaron Kotursky.
How many times have you heard some rabid baseball fan say they would die for a championship?
An old Cub fan lay dying.
Why should death take away your rooting interest? Major League Baseball and the funeral products company Eternal Image had arranged to put team logos on urns and caskets.
He knew his time was short.
For the fan who wants to take their team to that big eternal stadium in the sky. The company says passionate fans express their love in a number of different ways. It hopes to make similar arrangements with NASCAR, the NFL, and the National Hockey League. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
You may have gotten a rotten Apple iPod. The company says some of the MP3 players sold last month have a virus that affects Windows systems. Apple's high-tech support site says the problem affects less than 1% of the iPods sold after September 12th. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a Washington County man faces more charges in connection with the shooting of his 6-year-old son. Ricky Rulo Jr. is charged with endangering the welfare of a child and possession of a firearm while intoxicated. He was already charged with felony probation violation for allegedly having the gun. Rulo says he was cleaning his rifle last week when it accidentally fired and struck his son in the head. Sean Rulo remains in critical condition, but hospital officials say he is out of his coma and recognizes his mother. An Alton man will spend the rest of his life behind bars for the murder of a single mother from Wood River. Matthew Davis was sentenced yesterday to life in prison for the murder of 21-year-old Rachel Hayes. Authorities say Davis raped and stabbed Hayes at her Wood River apartment on February 29, 2004, after she rejected his advances. Cardinals gear is selling out across St. Louis as the Redbirds head to a decisive Game 7 tonight. Jim Boyle, the president of the Sports Fan Attic at West County Mall, says sales have been up about 20% since the Cards quenched the division title and expects sales to increase even more if they get to the World Series.
Oh, yeah, all bets are off if you do that. That's like winning the Super Bowl, but even better.
Boyle says the hot sellers have been T-shirts and jerseys with Scott Spezio and Albert Pujols' names on them. He says Sota Gucci items have also been big sellers since he hit 2 home runs in the playoffs. Finally this hour, the Metro West Fire Protection District is offering flu shots to West County residents. Vaccinations will be available from 9 to 1 this Saturday and next Tuesday at Metro West Fire District headquarters in Wildwood. The fee for the shot is $25. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted. They help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver, take along with a healthy diet and exercise. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 270, Graham Hanley, there's an accident. The right lane is blocked. Traffic slowing near Bell Fountain with the secondary accident that has just been cleared around West Florissant, so expect a lot of delays up in that area. Eastbound 70 at Mid-Rivers Mall. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic is slowing as you approach Bryan Road. Eastbound 44, Soccer Park and 270, heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 at 141 through 270, heavy volume there as well. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for some delays going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44, look for delays as well. And westbound Eastbridge traffic, there's an abandoned vehicle blocking the right lane. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, look for heavy volume from the gravel pit all the way into the landing. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. McDonald's is celebrating the Cardinals postseason by bringing back Big Mac sandwiches for $1 every time the Cardinals play. Limit 2 per customer. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Cooler showers likely, high around 50 this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high around the lower 60s. For Saturday, partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
can you stand? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting. Hand-picked school board members.
Welcome to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown. We have much, much, much to discuss this morning. It is getting closer and closer and closer to election time. And you know what? Folks just don't have enough information about what is happening out there in election land. I've had many requests from folks asking about what should we be doing on Amendment 2, what should we be doing on the sales tax, what for the sales tax on cigarettes, what should we be doing? Well, we're going to talk about that on Eye on the Loo when we come back. My name is Liz Brown, and it is Thursday. It is 7 a.m. It is time for Eye on the Loo. So how about this? How about we take our break? We do our thing, we come back, and we have the discussion with Irene J. Smith on what we should be doing this election cycle. Stay with me.
Early birds get a free cup of Caldi's coffee with the purchase of any muffin, whole wheat cinnamon roll, or scone at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, your whole wheat, whole grain headquarters, 9449 Olive Boulevard, just west of I-170.
It is the hardest thing to me when I have to tell a mother and a father that I can't do anything more for their child.
Speaking about Amendment 2, Missouri pediatrician Jonathan Gitlin, professor of pediatrics at the Washington University School of Medicine.
I think of the opportunity to help so many people that I can't now help. Stem cell research would allow that. That's why a yes vote on the stem cell initiative is supported by leading patient and medical groups. A vote yes for the initiative is a vote for life, for all Missouri's children, and for all children everywhere.
A yes vote on Amendment 2 is endorsed by the Missouri State Medical Association, which represents over 6,000 physicians throughout the state and by over 100 other nonprofit patient and medical groups. Join them in voting yes on 2. It could save the life of someone you love.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Ost, Treasurer.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I am Liz Brown, and I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
You know, we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Elections are coming at us fast and hard here, so we need to address some of these issues out here. And then there are also some collateral issues that are going on percolating all through the city of St. Louis. One of the things I'd like to start with is the areas of the election ballot that is often overlooked or not understood, or if it's seen, people just don't really, they just mark whatever on it, and that's the judges.
Yes.
And I think that we need to talk about how do we evaluate judges? How do we decide that we want to say yes or no to them? Does it matter if we just say no to them? Let's talk about that. Does it matter?
Yes, it does. It definitely matters if we vote on this, because in the city of St. Louis, unlike some other jurisdictions, of course, we don't really elect our judges. This is just a vote to whether or not they will be retained, and then someone else will go through the process, the Judicial Commission, and then the governor will appoint. This is an opportunity for the public to comment on a particular judge, in total honesty, the average person probably has not even come in contact with the judge. So what happens is there is a survey made, and it's supposed to be anonymous. And I think one of the criteria is that the lawyer has to have appeared at least 20 times.
Well, the survey can only be voted on by lawyers.
Right.
Practicing lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Who have appeared at least 20 times in whatever circuit the judge sits in. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's limiting in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what's of interest to me, Liz, is, and I was going through my mind, and I was thinking of judges who had problems in the county before to see when the post had taken positions that they have taken in the situation with Judy Draper.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Draper is a judge in St. Louis County. The post did actually a standout editorial really attacking and voting that she, you know, advising that she not be retained solely based upon the survey that was done among lawyers, not really zeroing in on any particular problem. She's a relatively new judge. She hasn't been on the bench too long.
And Irene, you and I have practiced in front of judges that from all practical purposes should not be on the bench. Never should have been on
never
the bench.
Never should have been on the bench.
Never, ever, ever should have been on the bench. And we cannot ignore the political manner in which the judges come to the bench.
Exactly.
The citizens don't get to weigh in on who is going to become a judge. It's taken completely out of the hands of the citizens. And we have to also acknowledge the fact that race and racism also factors into the decisions or the assessments, the personal assessments, really, of these judges. So,
exactly.
Should we be surprised that it would be a woman judge, that it would be a woman of color judge,
exactly.
That the Post would take the unprecedented position of saying, get this chick off the bench.
Exactly. And you know, one of the, there was this editorial, and I surely want to thank the letter to the editor that was written by former Judge Susan Block, because she just put it right where it was supposed to be. She talked about the sexism of it, the racism of it. She talked about the fact that probably the number of individuals who are rating these judges for all practical matters are certainly males.
White males. Let us be clear. White males.
So she really dealt with that in terms of how these judges have to do far better. These meaning, I don't want to say minority, but African-American
people
of color have to do far better. And she just really kind of said, you know, and she knows because she served on the bench for many, many years, just retired, I guess, a couple of years ago. She stepped down to go into private practice. But just saying, you know, she had never seen this type of attack on a judge. And I was thinking, I remember one year they wrote something about Judge Clifford and Judge Quillen, who I can tell you because I practiced before.
I practiced before both of them, too. Judge Clifford ain't no joke. Clifford ain't no joke.
Judge Quillen wasn't either.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are individuals, and particularly Judge Quillen. I practiced before him every week when I was a county counselor, and man.
Ooh, Judge Clifford. Ooh, Lord.
I mean, he has mellowed over the
years.
Yes,
he has.
He has mellowed very much over the years.
But in the beginning, he was no joke.
And the reality of the situation is, it is, whether we like it or not, it is a learning process
in becoming
a judge and applying the law.
But here's one more point, too, Irene, that I think that it's important to underscore. What recourse does a judge who is up for retention, which is different than up for reelection, so she's not out there campaigning. She can't run an ad in response to this. She can't put flyers out there in response to this. So it is really, it is a double, triple blow for a newspaper to go after a judge who is not really running, because what can she do? Does she run an ad to respond to that? So her hands are tied, which makes it even more problematic for the press to do that, and we really should question why they are doing that.
Exactly. You know, when you look at her overall score, excuse me, it's that time of the year, you know, a lot of her scores are average or above average. I think she only really has one score, according to this, that you would say would be below average.
And that's
the topic of using good judgment in application of relevant law and rules.
But that is such a person-to-person arbitrary assessment.
Case to case.
It really is. And also, if you have a bunch of guys that don't like her decision on stuff, I mean, I've done that. You don't like somebody's decision, and you question their ability of whether or not they have the ability to interpret the law right.
Right.
You know, that's just something that you do. That doesn't make it so.
You're not interpreting. You know, the way I see this, you know, this is the way the law is, and the judge doesn't see your point of view. So then you then say, you know, she'll know the law.
And one way of measuring if this judge is interpreting the law incorrectly is how many of her cases have been overturned.
Right.
Because Buzz Westfall sure got to keep his job as a prosecutor despite the fact that he broke the law in the arguments that he did in closing arguments on death penalty cases, and he got his cases overturned, and none of these type of institutions asked for his ouster. So a measurement of her ineffectiveness would be our appellate judges, our appellate courts coming back and saying, oh, she don't know what she's doing.
Right. And keep in mind, you're going to have reversals.
Yes.
all the time. I mean, I was looking at a case yesterday about the minister who they said was not guilty of forcible rape because the kid was asleep at the time, forcible sodomy rather. And so, you know, you look at the intricacies of the law, but I find it interesting that this kind of assault, I mean, she's only been on the bench 2 years. She's been on the bench 2 years.
And the Post-Dispatch is saying she needs to go.
And the Post is saying
but
she
also
needs to
we
go.
Have to we have to look at the ripple effect of this, and we have to ask the political questions here, the strategy of this criticism. Who is Judy Draper's husband? Husband sits on
the appellate bench.
The appellate bench.
George W. Draper III.
Okay, so George sits on the appellate bench. Is this an attempt to get at his credibility? We don't know. I mean, this is a double whammy, and it is an astounding thing after 2 years for them to take that kind of position. What could she have done? What did she do in 2 years that justifies that, aside from being a person of color and a woman?
I have no idea. She's been on the bench 2 years and I think about four months. And there is a learning curve to being a judge. You know, if, you know, I take the fact that I was hit the ground being in court every week with judges. And you learn as a result of that. You learn from the clerks. You learn from the judges. But if you have been practicing in an area where you are not coming in contact with judges, and this may say something about the way judges are appointed in the state of Missouri, particularly in the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County, but it's just very interesting to me the type of assault and the disrespect. I think there's one thing that they talked about, kind of comparing her to Judge Judy. And they call her, I can't even think what it was. It was Judge something that they called her. But it was disrespectful, the manner in which they said it, you know.
And again, it is not even-handed. It is unfair because they have the means of being a daily newspaper. What does she have the means to fight back when she's not really running for office? She's up for retention. And you know, there are a lot of Dowds out there, a lot of Judge Dowds out there that have gone straight from law school onto the bench. We have had people that, I mean, I know she's been a practicing attorney well before she got on the bench. We have had white males that have gone straight from law school onto the bench. And what could they have known in the first 2 years of their judgeships? How many things could they have screwed up in the first 2 years of their judgeships? Because that's what you do. That's about the process of learning. But these kinds of criticisms are not leveled at her. I mean, at them.
I mean, it's interesting because I think the next judge in St. Louis County that receives the lowest retention is probably another African-American judge, you know, African-American female. It just happens that way? Is it coincidental that it happened that way?
And don't forget the civic, and to those of you out there in radio land, don't forget that Civic Progress and the Post-Dispatch have an intimate, consistent relationship. We don't necessarily know the reasons for this assault, but I suspect that part of the reasons has to do with some kind of money decision, some kind of thing that they want to go or did want to go in a certain way.
And it didn't.
Or maybe a case was going to be sent to her courtroom. And now they have this editorial to go and ask for a change of judge that they may not have gotten in the first place. There are all kinds of things that we don't know about that could be possibilities for why, because her record doesn't justify that type of a conclusion at all.
Doesn't it? We're talking about, what, 300 and something people voting, 302?
Lawyers voting.
Lawyers voting, surveying. The situation. You're relying on the fact that perhaps these judges actually practiced before her and is not based upon, you know, the good old boy situation. You know, she dug me out on a decision.
There you go.
You know, she doesn't know the law. And I'm not, you know, that may well be the case, but the way the system is set up, it's pretty dangerous. It's interesting that the two individuals that received the lowest rating in St. Louis County, according to lawyers,
are women
of color.
Of color. We'll be back.
morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Westbound 270 at Graham Hanley, that accident's been cleared. Traffic's still slowing around Bell Fountain. Eastbound 70 between 79 and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for an accident. The right lane is blocked and traffic is slowing approaching Bryan Road. Eastbound 44, Soccer Park and 270. Very heavy volume going on down there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Lindbergh. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270. Look for some congestion. Northbound 270 is slowing on either side of 44. And westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic as well. Eads Bridge traffic is moving well now into the landing. King Bridge traffic is still slow between the gravel pit and the landing. And westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays as well as your approaches into that area at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Showers likely today, cooler with a high only around 50 for this evening. Look forward to mostly cloudy skies in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Friday, partly cloudy, not quite as cool, with a high in the lower 60s. And Saturday, partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, with a chance of showers and a high in the lower 60s. Currently, we have 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 42 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Excuse me. Remember when fairness and equality and people mattered? When the government was on our side? This November, you can vote to have the government on our side again by voting for Democrat Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senator and the Democratic team. Together, we will fight
for minority-owned businesses to get a fair share of federal contracts.
For a higher minimum wage, working families deserve to have ends meet.
For the best prescription drugs at the cheapest prices.
To provide a safety net for the people who need it most, children and seniors.
To keep Missouri jobs in Missouri.
This is a critical year for Democrats in Congress. We need Claire McCaskill in the Senate and Democrats in office at all levels. Let's elect a government that'll fight for equality and fairness for a change.
I'm Claire McCaskill, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the Missouri Democratic Party and the Claire McCaskill for Senate campaign, and authorized by the Claire McCaskill for Senate campaign.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, welcome back, welcome back. Can we go through, run through the judges in terms of the judges of color that are on the list that people will be voting for come this election, just so people know, because we're not talking about a whole lot of people. And as you start that process, I think that it's instructive to look at the comment that was in the editorial about Judge Draper. One of the people that was contacted, the president of the Bar Association of Metropolitan St. Louis, refused to elaborate on the specific problems lawyers have with Judge Draper. She said, "The numbers speak for themselves." Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609.
And what
is
we
my
have
fax
to take into consideration is only the Metropolitan Bar Association, I believe, the Missouri Bar, and the County Bar that actually really participate in this survey,
mm-hmm.
In terms of putting it together. It's a cooperative thing with the Bar Association of Metropolitan St. Louis, the Kansas City Metropolitan Bar Association, and the Missouri Bar Association, because there are also appellate judges and Supreme Court judges that are also up for a retention vote. Judge Nanette Baker, who is on the Court of Appeals, is up for a retention vote, and 73% of the lawyers surveyed said that she should be retained.
She's an African woman, and she's on the Court of Appeals. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And mm-hmm. She gets an appointment. She hasn't been on there 2 years yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the likelihood that many cases have been argued before her are not that great.
My experience has been lawyers, a lot of gossip goes on. There's a lot of personal stuff going on. We don't know if the people that voted against Judy are organizing for some other white guy that they wanted to have the position, or some other person that they wanted to have that position. This is an extraordinary editorial. It is truly an extraordinary editorial, an editorial that doesn't even say that it knows for sure of its facts. And by that I mean they say that they talk about that she has a 27% of the lawyers who filled out the survey thought she should be retained, but they're not saying that this is this level has never been done before, you know.
And the only other individual that they mentioned, it happens to be another African American female judge, Judge
Brenda Laughlin,
in St. Louis County as well, and saying that she was split evenly about retention. So, as I said, they based this whole editorial on the survey that was conducted by the Bar Association.
County voters should vote. No, that's just wild. They should vote no on her. You know what? No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. I mean, no, you shouldn't. 300, perhaps. I don't remember, Irene. Can you vote more than once? Is it possible to vote more than once, or do you just get the one?
You get the ballot, okay. And it's a retention vote. Whether or not
right.
this judge should be retained on the bench, you get to vote yes or no.
And there could have been lobbying that is going on amongst lawyers to do this, amongst a handful of lawyers. You're going to say out of 300 people, out of the thousands of lawyers that are in that practice law in the county of St. Louis, 300 people, anonymous people in an inexact science of this, you're going to say that a judge shouldn't be retained after 2 years being on the bench for this? That's outrageous.
And keep in mind, in order to be able to vote anonymously, you should have appeared in the 20
in
the circuit 20 times. It didn't say appear before her 20
That's
times,
fact. That's a fact.
But in the circuit. And take one example, you know, Michael Jameson, who is an African-American judge, very high retention rate, 80%, happens to be a male. Of course, the lawyers say 80%. The jurors who came in contact with him probably for a longer period of time is 100%.
See.
Okay.
What do the jurors say about, or has she even had
she
any,
hasn't had a
she
jury.
She hasn't had a jury trial.
She hasn't had a jury evaluation.
Right.
So, And this is, just as you know, having been a lawyer, having been worked in the court system, having been around the court system, and to me, you know, this is me, and you might say I'm being sexist, but the male lawyers gossip far more.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus.
I mean, the hot gossip, when you go down to the circuit and you're sitting, it's the male judge. Did you hear so-and-so?
So-and-so. I'm telling you, you cannot get out of the courthouse without somebody tapping you on the shoulder and telling you something. Gossip. It is really, really a gossip. And I don't imagine.
It takes its own level of, this is real. Because it was said. Well, you know, so-and-so said it. So it becomes, it's a gossip and it takes legs. We don't know whether that's the case with her.
I don't think that this is fair. I think that all of you that live in the county, when you look at the judge's retention thing, you need to vote to retain Judy Draper. This is absolutely an unfair attack, and it is an attack that none of us know the specifics behind it, but it is an unfair, uneven-handed attack on a woman of color, and that's just unacceptable. That is just absolutely unacceptable. So if you live in the county of St. Louis, you will have the choice, because if you live in the city, you won't have the choice, because you're only going to be voting for city judges. Vote for Judy Draper.
Right, and let's just look again at Judge Lofton.
Mm-hmm.
50%, 49.7% say retain. When you look at the jurors, 92.2%
of the jurors who have longer period, well, not have to, but have a long period of time spending with the judge.
Right.
92% of them say retain.
96.2%
say retain her.
Say retain her.
You know, it's bunk. I think the system of evaluating the judges is so, it's not specific enough. It is such a personal thing that it is an unfair evaluation, period, dot.
Right.
I really do.
In the state of Missouri and Kansas City and St. Louis, it's quite interesting because, as you know, we don't elect our judges. And some people say, well, you know, we shouldn't get into that because you have corruption. Well,
you're on the Eye on the Lou, Michael.
Hello, how you doing?
Outstanding.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I just had an experience yesterday with the city courts, traffic courts, and I had the opportunity to sit in on two different dockets, 8 o'clock in the morning and a 9 o'clock docket. And there was a judge. I mean, you're talking about racist judge. I mean, it took me back in the past to see.
What was the name of the judge, Michael?
WAHL.
Judge Walsh.
Yes.
She is the administrative judge for city courts. This is the same judge that allegedly told somebody to go to the back of the bus.
She is.
Well, you know what? I'm going to interrupt you, but I tell you what. The tactic that I saw yesterday, he gave the white people that were in there for different violations.
So you said, okay, this was not the female judge.
No, this was the male judge.
What was the last name again?
You mean, tell me, Judge Walls.
W-A-H-L.
Okay, Judge Wall. Okay.
He let the white people that were in there for different various reasons, he let them go with no court call success, no fine, no nothing. Just let them go.
If that is the Judge Walls that I served on the bench with, and maybe it was just that day, but he has a tendency sometimes to be lenient toward defendants anyway, of all colors. So maybe it was just that particular day, because I've served on the bench with him. In fact, he was one of the judges that I supervised when I was the administrative judge.
Because, well, you know what? Now, yesterday when I sent them two different dockets, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So I had a chance to see two different groups of people, and we're talking about a lot of people.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just on balance, because I had an opportunity to see far more dockets than you did.
Oh, yeah.
Particular judge, if that's Jimmy Wall, I mean, people were saying, you know, let me come in here because, you know.
The older white guy with a mustache?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got to go, Michael. Thank you for your
call.
But your
point is well taken. I mean, certainly racism exists, and it doesn't stop when people go to the bench. Mm-mm. You know, and quite often we see that. Mm. And particularly in municipal courts in the city of St. Louis. But
and we were going to run through the names of the black judges of color. We'll do that when we come back and get to some more of our callers here. This is I on the Lou, Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. To visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerator stoves, and 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace, anything, everything, all things are at 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. Get on down to Sears, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move was if the engineer wanted a bite to eat. He let the monkey sit.
Early Birds. Get a free cup of Caldi's coffee with the purchase of any muffin, whole wheat cinnamon roll, or scone at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, your whole wheat, whole grain headquarters, 9449 Olive Boulevard, just west of I-170.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. We're taking a look at election issues and judges in particular. Let me get to a caller or two, and then Irene's going to go through the black judges that are up for retention for our region, the city and the county region. Chuck.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Irene J.
Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I need your reaction on several amendments would be on the ballot in November.
All righty.
The stem cell amendment, I think I'm going to fly with that. The minimum wage amendment, I'm inclined to vote yes on both of those bills. This tobacco bill.
You know what? We need to have a conversation about that tobacco bill, don't we?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
This sounds like a Republican ripoff big time.
Well, you know, Chuck, I know you smoke, okay?
I quit.
Oh, you quit. That's great. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's totally anything that discourages somebody that might discourage somebody from buying some cigarettes, but I think the criticisms that are being leveled should be looked at a little closer. Me, myself, I'm going to vote for it.
Because it says, I'm not sure how I'm going to vote on it at all, because I am not. My concern is that when they get a big pot of money, will the big pot of money go to where they say that the money is supposed to go and help with what they say that is going to help? And I'm not convinced that this is going to do that.
I am too. And answer this question.
Wait a minute.
Each state was given for that settlement for tobacco.
Well, and this is a 400-something% increase. I'm not convinced yet. I am not convinced yet. Now, I understand why those that are in support are against this. I understand their positions. I understand owners of smoke shops, and I understand gas stations being opposed to it, because most of their money comes from the sale of cigarettes.
Right.
So I understand their financial interest in this. I don't trust government to do right when they get a big old hunk of money. I don't trust them, and I'm not convinced that this is going to happen with this. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
But we're going to continue this conversation, Chuck, okay? In fact, I'm going to have, you know what, maybe next week we will have on this show both parties on each side of that issue, because I think we really need to have that discussion.
I think discussion needs to be had, Chuck, but I'm going to vote for it.
I'm on the other side of the fence.
All okay, right. That's
even
okay.
Even though I quit smoking.
All right. Thanks,
Chuck.
I don't
want them getting rich up
there. All right. Brother Matt, good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
Yes, good morning.
I am a cigarette smoker, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to vote for it simply because I understand the addiction that I have. And I also understand how important it is, as Irene says, that, you know, if it will discourage other people from, you know, going through this, then I'm all for that.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that the money does go toward the cuts in Medicare and Medicaid to assist families who don't have health insurance.
I hear.
And I mean, everything we do is hopeful, and as always, anything that we do is subject to abuse. So I'm gonna take my chances on this one. I'm voting yes.
I hear you. All right, black judges, let's do that.
Okay, Michael Jamison, he's up for retention.
And could you say where, in which district, is his county or city?
That's St. Louis County.
Okay.
St. Louis County.
Okay.
Okay. Then we have Judge David Vincent.
Okay, he's the county.
He's okay. Up for retention. Then we have Judy Draper.
County.
We have Judge Laughlin. County. Mm-hmm. We have Jimmy Edwards, St. Louis City. He's up for retention.
That's St. Louis City. Judge
St. Louis
Jimmy.
City.
Judge Jimmy Edwards.
M. Edwards. Judge Edwards. Judge Donald McCullen.
He's St. Louis City.
Mm-hmm. Retention.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Barbara Peoples.
Okay, that would be the Court of Appeals.
No,
I'm sorry, City.
St. Louis City. Judge Paula Bryant.
That's St. Louis City. City.
Mm-hmm. And that's it for retention.
Okay. There you go. That's in the city and in the county. Okay.
City and the county. And, of course, we mentioned the Court of Appeals.
Nanette
Baker is up for a retention vote.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fact. And one more thing that you noticed as we were looking through the assessment of just looking at the unfairness of this attack on Judy Draper, Judge Draper, by the Post-Dispatch, and really an unprecedented no retention vote. One of the things that you notice in the book is that every judge had a different amount of people that voted for them.
Mm-hmm.
Voted, period.
Right. And say for Judy Draper, I think it was 303 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had as small amount as 100
mm-hmm.
Voting, you know, doing their evaluation, which effectively is voting.
And I guess we have to raise the question, since she's only been on the bench for 2 years, how would there be 300 people that have come to vote for a judge that's only been on the bench for 2 years?
No, it's not only those 300 people, but those 300 people have practiced, have at least appeared at least 20 times.
In front of her?
No,
In the circuit. So how many times could those 300 people have appeared in front of Judy Draper in those 2 years? How many times could they have appeared in front of her? I mean, I don't know how many judges a lawyer in, what is she? Is she associate circuit or circuit judge?
She's an associate.
Okay.
She's an associate. She could see a lot more attorneys than
right.
a circuit court judge would.
But I'm just saying that's just a lot of numbers for someone that has only been on the bench for 2 years. 1-877-920. I think it's unfair. I think it is truly an unfair, a sexist, racist assault against a female judge. It's almost like this whole the poll tax type of a thing that they use to It's just an unfair assault. It is just an unfair assault.
And when you look at it from the standpoint of a newspaper doing an editorial, that you're basing your total conclusion based on the assessment of others, and there was no independent additional information that would lead the Post to come to this conclusion other than the evaluation that was done by the bar associations.
I think it's horrible. I think it is absolutely horrible. Lori.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to know, what information do you know about a judge named Kathy Surratt?
Where is she?
She's for the bankruptcy.
I don't have any information. I haven't done bankruptcy law in over 12 years.
Okay, well, my other question is, do you know if it is possible, and this is kind of an open question, but is it possible? My feeling is that it is, but is it possible that judges, black judges, are being bought and paid for in cases?
Why would you just narrow it to black judges?
Well, because it's been my experience that, I mean, in and out of different courts, just like the other gentleman had been experiencing, witnessing cases, that this could be the case.
With black judges? You're saying that with black...
Women black judges.
Well, it's unfortunate that you would even say that. I mean, you're talking to someone. Liz and I both are attorneys. I've practiced since 1979, sometime, you know, 27 years, and I have not seen that as the case. There are some judges that I have suspected of giving favorable treatment to particular individuals because of their personal relationship and financial relationships, and it has not been black judges. And I think most of the black judges that I know and that I have practiced before, in fact, it's almost as though they go as far as they can to make sure that they are fair. Now, some of them, once they get on the bench, you know, they get a little puffed up, but that's not just with black judges, with anybody, because that's part of our human frailty. But I don't think that that's something that applies to black judges, no.
I don't think it's even a question to be raised from the perspective of just given the amount of judges that anybody could have seen in the course of their entire life, that you're taking a minority of a minority of a minority number and affixing to them criminal behavior when if you're going to talk about the possibility of criminal behavior, you have to at least start with the larger group that has been at it for a long period of time.
Certainly the possibility exists for all judges.
Absolutely.
For all judges, that's possibility.
Because they're all human.
Because they're all human. But from my standpoint of having practice, I think that is a minute number of all judges that engaged in this type of conduct.
454-0400 is the phone number. But I think that it is critical that in the county, those of you that are going to be voting in the county, that you go out of your way. You go out of your way. You turn the page to, or you scroll down the screen to Judge Draper, and you make certain that you vote to retain, because this is an unfair, unfair attack, an unfair assault on her.
And the Post is bracing their editorial on a survey simply among. I mean, not even looking at it, I don't even know if the Post understood how the survey is done.
They certainly have the ability to figure it out.
And they should have. You take the position of saying that the daily paper in the metropolitan area takes the position in an editorial that you should vote no on a judge, you certainly ought to give more information than the evaluation that is done by the Bar Association.
And I think it's pretty cold-blooded of the president of the Bar Association to say those numbers speak for herself. Well, I guess she better hope she don't practice in front of folks, okay? Hope she don't practice. You know, because that ain't right. That is a number speak. She should have been neutral on that.
Glad to say, the brother that called in, I'm glad to say that people are observing things that are going on. Because a lot of things have gone on down in city court that, I mean, any other folks that would have been on the bench would have been exposed by now.
There you go.
I mean, the things that are going on in truancy court down there, things that are going on with judges just dismissing cases just because the Cardinals hit a home run. it has not been exposed. Folks are being paid, not coming to work.
There you go.
So I'm glad you're paying attention.
International Urban Institute, International Urban Institute on Saturday.
Saturday, 9 to 11, 1020 North Taylor, Firefighters Institute for Racial Equality, their hall. Come on.
Come on down. Thank you, Irene J. Smith. Next week, same time, same place.
Oh, man, it's getting short.
Yes, it is.
It's getting short.
We'll
all
be
right.
Back. Stay with me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The violence shows no sign of ending and more U.S. troops are being killed in Iraq, but President Bush says now is not the time to bring them all home. Here's ABC's Luis Giovanni.
In an exclusive interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, President Bush expressed concern about the nation's confidence in the U.S. effort in Iraq. The president himself sees progress.
What you're seeing is a new form of government actually beginning to evolve after years of tyranny.
October, though, has been a rough month for U.S. forces in Iraq. 74 American troops have died there, and sectarian violence continues to exact a high civilian toll. Luis Schiavone, ABC News, Washington.
The president also weighed in on the November elections. He says he's not concerned about what the polls might say.
I'm a person that believes we'll continue to control the House and the Senate. I can't tell you what the margins are going to be, but I believe our candidates will go out and talk about the issues that matter and we'll win.
The president campaigns today for Virginia Senator George Allen. The U.S. and its Asian allies are trying some carrot-and-stick diplomacy where North Korea is concerned.
A day after President Bush laid it on the line, telling ABC News North Korea would be held to account if it were to sell nuclear weapons to Al-Qaeda or Iran, Secretary Rice was in the South, reminding America's ally of its obligation to stop the North trafficking in nuclear material, but also trying to calm the crisis.
The United States has no desire to do anything to escalate this situation.
And still holding out an olive branch, Rice said,
the best outcome is for North Korea to accept its obligations and to return unconditionally to the six-party talks.
Linda Alvin, ABC News, London.
Go on, go to the game. It's perfectly safe. The NFL and the government both say an internet posting that seven stadiums could be attacked over the weekend is, in their words, not credible. They say there's no reason to believe that that could be the case at all. This is ABC News.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
Travelocity presents the Gigantonormous Sale.
Holiday, here I come.
Save $100 instantly on your vacation.
Smashing.
Plus, get $200 off your next one.
Cha-ching, bada-bing.
Hurry, save up to $300.
300 buckaroos? That's mucho moolah.
Book now. Sale ends November 16th. Restrictions apply. For details and other great deals, visit Travelocity.com or AOL keyword travel. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
The world is getting a lot smaller, especially after 9/11, and now you'll need a passport to go more places than ever before. Here's ABC's Steve Portnoy.
Gone are the days when you could just answer a few simple questions at the border. Next year, you'll have to have a passport to fly between the U.S. and Canada, Mexico, or the Caribbean. And in 2008, you'll need documents to cross a land border or enter a seaport. The Homeland Security and State Departments are proposing a new wallet-sized passport card for land and sea entry. It would be embedded with a radio chip linking to your picture and personal information. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Yoko Ono is suing music company EMI to the tune of $10 million. She says the label stiffed her on her late husband John Lennon's royalties. Well, if you want to feel old, this could probably do the trick. That if you don't know who this is, you're probably very young. It's rock and roll legend Chuck Berry. He turns 80 years young today. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Brentwood Middle and High Schools are cutting back on outdoor activities because of gunfire earlier this week. Police say a gunman fired shots into a parked pickup truck at Brentwood Middle School on Monday, and then fired shots at the home of the truck's owner, a volunteer at the school. The suspect was last seen driving a white sedan, possibly a Ford Taurus. Anyone with information is asked to call Brentwood Police at 314-644-7100 or Crime Stoppers at 866-371-TIPS. Flags at Missouri State facilities will fly in half-staff tomorrow in memory of a Missouri Department of Transportation worker. William Crane of Walnut Grove was killed Tuesday when he was hit by a tractor-trailer on the outer road of I-44 in Webster County. Crane was putting up a memorial sign for a Highway Patrol trooper who died in an accident in that same area last year. Missouri State officials will present a webcast today on school safety issues. The Department of Public Safety and the Missouri School Board Association will hold the webcast this morning at 9 o'clock for school officials, law enforcement, first responders, and parents. Governor Matt Blunt and Homeland Security Coordinator Paul Fenwald will be among the speakers. Finally this hour, the city of Florissant is teaming up with Christian Hospital to host a free family health fair Saturday at the James Egan Civic Center. Florissant Mayor Robert Lowry's assistant, Michelle Burrish, explains the purpose of the event.
Well, the mayor feels that it is very important that individuals take care of themselves. Make sure that you're healthy, you're dieting, you're exercising. Just keep yourself around for as long as you can.
The event will be held Saturday from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. To pre-register or for more information, call 314-747-WELL. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3 days, 2 nights hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS, 877-57-VEGAS. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 44, Soccer Park at 270. You've got heavy volume going on there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270. Traffic congestion going on there as well. Northbound 270 at Gravois all the way through Marshall. Expect slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for traffic being slow due to an earlier accident. However, it's been cleared. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain all the way through Washington Elizabeth. Look for very heavy volume going on there. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the Eads Bridge and the King Bridge, you can expect delays due to the morning rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckerd's. Bring the family to Eckerd's and take a tractor ride to the pumpkin patch. You'll find the perfect pumpkin plus lots of fall fun. Eckerd's in Belleville, Millstadt, and Grafton. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Showers likely today, cooler with a high only around 50. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Moving on to Friday, partly cloudy, not quite as cool, high in the lower 60s. Then on Saturday, partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. There is a chance of rain on Saturday as well. Currently, we have 42 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 42 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. It's Justice for Reggie. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think
power to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel my brothers talking with them.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It is Thursday at 8 o'clock. That means that it is Justice for Reggie time, and my guest in the studio with me is Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Pretty good.
Very good. Well, we had some tremendous news come down the wires this week. Talk to us about that.
Well, what happened, and we've been talking about the criminal justice system, and specifically we've been talking about the lethal injection issue, and Judge Fernando Gatan out of Kansas City had insisted that the state of Missouri come up with a protocol.
Well, what was his first ruling?
His first ruling was that the lethal injection as practiced in Missouri was cruel and unusual punishment and could not proceed as we had been doing it. And so he ordered the state to rewrite the protocol and to include in there an anesthesiologist. Well,
so and just to kind of break it down for our listeners here, that in order for a person to be executed in the state of Missouri, Judge Catan said that if you're going to do this and if you're going to do it by this cocktail that's made up of all of these different chemicals, you need to have a doctor there, and then specifically the type of doctor that you need is an anesthesiologist. That has to happen.
That has to happen. The state then went to try to find an anesthesiologist and could not because in this issue most of the medical personnel are standing down. And you know, people think it's kind of spiteful that they're doing that, Liz, because from the very beginning, this was a medical procedure. Whenever you have somebody sticking needles in somebody's arm and administering drugs, it's a medical procedure. Yet from the get-go in Missouri, as in many other states, there was no consultation with the medical profession as they proceeded. So now that they've gotten slapped on the hand, now they want the medical profession to come in and help them figure this out, and they're saying no way.
And I guess there are a couple of reasons that in theory that the medical profession, particularly anesthesiologists, could be standing down on this. One, they're in opposition to the death penalty, could be. Two, what anesthesiologist wants on their resume that they administered? An anesthesiologist, their job, the trick of their trade is to be able to keep you alive and under and without pain so that you survive the surgery. What anesthesiologist wants on their resume that not only can I keep you alive, but I can also kill you with the amount of drugs that I, and I'm an expert in putting enough chemicals in you to die? You know, who wants that on their resume? Who wants to be part of, as a doctor, who you take an oath to for people to give the best care, part of your doctoring is the ability to kill. I mean, who wants that on their resume?
It's the contradiction, no doubt. And so so when the judge came back this last time, he sent them back out to revise the protocol, and he gave them to October 27th. And they got the rush on the judge and said, we need to hear something before then so that we can appeal if we need to. And he said, well, since you're putting the rush on me and since you have had no willingness to even do what I told you to do, the answer is still no.
Because they came back to him with the exact same proposal that he said no to. And I know judges, they get an attitude, I told you to do this. And you coming back, well, you in my face, giving me the same thing I told you no to? Oh, the answer is no.
No. Not just no, but hell no.
Okay, no. We'll be back. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Tuesday night at 6:30, WWE and the new motion picture, The Marine, present two of the most action-packed shows on national television. Worldwide from St. Louis's Scott Trade Center.
SmackDown is set to explode!
It's the most exciting show on network TV, WWE SmackDown. Back-to-back with the most extreme show on cable, ECW.
On the top of the food chain!
First on SmackDown, the Animal Batista joins Lashley for a tag team main event versus King Booker and Finley, plus Rey Mysterio and more. Then on ECW, you'll see the whole effing show.
And that's me, Rob Van Dam.
The Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, and all the ECW extremists. When WWE SmackDown and ECW come to the Scott Trade Center this Tuesday night at 6:30. Great seats are still available at the box office and Ticketmaster. For more, visit WWE.com.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers, and Jamala, welcome back. We're talking about the decision to by Judge Fernando Gatton on the lethal injection case, saying that the lethal injections are stayed in the state of Missouri because the state, when Judge Gatton looked at the record and found out that we had this incompetent physician who dyslexic, not only incompetent on top of dyslexic, administering varying amounts, made up amounts, just experimenting on people that were being executed, Judge Gatton said, okay, we need some protocols because y'all have lost your mind. You don't have any kind of protocols. Here are the protocols that I want you to come up with. You need to have an anesthesiologist. I'll give you to October 27th to get that done. They came back to him prior to October 27th, looked him in the face and said, you know what, no, this is, we're going to give you the same thing that we gave you before. And so here we are. We are back. We are still, executions are stayed in the state of Missouri.
And actually, as I think about it, Liz, I did miss one point because Judge Gatton, he loosened up his requirements about an anesthesiologist because, you know, they went all through the state and claimed they couldn't find one. And it was that was interesting to me because even Dr. Duerhoff's sister, is her wife was an anesthesiologist, and she even stood down. So they couldn't find anybody. So then he came back and said, okay, it doesn't have to be an anesthesiologist, but it does have to be a medical physician who is in good standing. He's board certified. So he, you know, there was some give on his part. Now, he understood that there, that this is a medical procedure that needed a medical person there, so he was not willing to budge on that. But he did say, okay, it doesn't have to be an anesthesiologist, but it has to be a medical person. And so they still came back to him with,
Can't find anybody.
And not only can we find anybody, but we don't even think we have to have a medical person there. Mm-hmm. And we want to proceed on anyway. So I think that any judge worth his or her salt, when they uncovered during the deposition and the discovery period that you have a dyslexic doctor who's been given improper and in some cases unusually high dosages of a particular drug that's causing pain, what are you to do with that information? Are you supposed to hide it and say, well, so what, they're going to die anyway, let's move forward? I think Judge Gatton took a very principled and fair stand, and I think he ought to be applauded for that.
And it's just, it's astounding to just to be here in the world and in this country at this time and place where you hear such heartfelt disappointment coming out of the mouth of Matt Blunt and the man who wants to unseat Matt Blunt, Jane Nixon. We can't kill anybody. He's stopping us from being able to kill people, and this is not right. It's just, it's really chilling that these are the things that touch the heart of Matt Blunt that actually get him to show some emotion and some disappointment. It wasn't the poor people that need
that he kept from Medicaid.
Yeah, you know, bedpans and medicine. That didn't touch his heart like the again, it was so clear that he was so disappointed. And that's a scary thing. This is what gets you upset and sad.
Although both he and Jay Nixon will say, we are here to enforce the law, and the death penalty is the law. Now, if you take that same premise across the board where you can see that it's not the same, it's some things that are the law that they are not enforcing, not even trying to enforce, let alone trying to fund. So we know that it's not just it's the law of the land. It's I think, as you said, it's an emotional piece of it that they're connected to. And for Matt, you have to say it's the party line. I don't know what you say for Jay Nixon, who's supposed to be a Democrat. But at the same time, you got these two people saying, we are here to enforce the laws of the state of Missouri.
And again, we also have to look at it from the perspective of, look at what they go after aggressively and publicly. Because politicians go to the public when they are going after things, because these are the things that they want the public to understand that they are about, and that the public assess them favorably on. And so whenever they go after things aggressively, that is who and what they are. And that's what Jay Nixon is. He believes that this is an issue that should be pursued aggressively and publicly.
And even though we say that, the sort of aggression that aggressiveness that I've seen in previous elections around the death penalty, I have not seen this time around. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's been a good thing, because I think a lot of it has to do with the very kinds of discussions that we've been having here on the show to make it unpopular for people to actually run on that. Now, for example, we know that Claire McCaskill, in her platform, she supports the death penalty, but that has not been an issue that she's running on. And it was interesting, when I was in Kansas City, I saw a commercial of TV ad with a person pronouncing their support for the death penalty, and it kind of took me by surprise because I hadn't seen it at all. Mm-hmm. But that was a person running in Kansas, because that's
Kansas. Okay,
so so for them that was the issue, and they were actually actively running on it. And so it allowed me to compare and contrast. Wow, we don't have candidates that are having that in their actual ads.
Right.
Nobody is having that in their ads.
Nobody is running
on
that at all.
So to me, the public discourse here on this side of the state,
or this state,
mm-hmm. has elevated to the place where people that may be something they support, but is way down low in terms of what they're articulating publicly and in front of audiences. So I think the fact that is happening, we have to take some credit for that, and to say that people are looking more closely at the death penalty and all of the contradictions, and it's not cool to be running on that anymore.
It doesn't make sense, and I think one of the reasons why it doesn't make sense, aside from the things that we have discussed on this show, but like you said, I'm worried about whether I'm going to be able to pay my heat bill this winter. I'm worried about whether or not I'm going to be able to pay my medical insurance, or if my parents are going to be able to get their medicines that they need, or whether I'm going to be able to keep my job, or the quality and the condition of the schools that my kids are going. Those are the things that, you know what, if we never have a discussion about the death penalty, I'm okay, because there are too many other things that affect me directly that I need to be talking about politically.
And even when you look at the war, I mean, the fact that the majority of people of color oppose the war, but it also has the impact that the billions that are going out of this country every week to support the Iraqi war means that something is going to be unfunded here or underfunded, and so people are understanding that. I mean, when you talk about education, health, other social services, I mean, the pie is only so big, and so those are the things that are going to be impacted.
And I think also that we need to, it's wonderful that we are being given this kind of information right now about the consistent messages coming from Jay Nixon, who wants to be governor, about what's on his priority list. We see that this, despite the fact that it doesn't appear, we have a senatorial race where they're not talking about that. It's interesting that he still believes that this is something that should be on the list of discussion, despite the fact that we're not asking mm-hmm. for it.
And there's been places, Liz, where the prosecuting attorney or the attorney general that has been the law of the land, but they have not pursued it. And so it's not as if that is compelling you to do that. You do it because, I mean, tactically, in places like New York, where it was on the books for a long time and they had no execution, it really depends on the power and the integrity and the principles of that person in office. So for a Jay Nixon, there's lots of options. I mean, he could even say, you know, I know it's the law of the land. I have reservations about this. I'm doing it, but all the time I'm looking at how we can do something different in this state. I think, you know, that kind of position may, and I hope he doesn't hear that and say he'll start doing that so he can get some votes come 2008. But, I mean, his views have been quite clear, and to me they've been at the expense of poor people of color, and Missouri has had its fair share of folks who we feel have been executed unjustly, but we certainly have had our fair share of people who've been incarcerated unjustly.
And also, when we look at the Jay Nixons out here, we have to look at the fact that Jay Nixon is again choosing to pursue that as opposed to pursuing something else. But we also have to look at the fact that when we evaluate him, we have to, whatever change that he may make or he may not make come the election, we have to evaluate him on his aggressive pursuit of this issue, because it is important to him that there be executions. And I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with people that put it as a high priority. And one of the most profound moments for me when I was practicing law as a public defender, there was a prosecutor who was Catholic and was opposed to the death penalty. And he got his conviction, so they went to the next phase of the case, which is the death penalty phase. This is the phase where the prosecutors usually lose their mind, you know, kill, kill, kill. These are the reasons why he needs to die. They make the argument to the jury. This prosecutor stood up and said, you know what, do what you think is right. And the jury came back with no death penalty. You know, I mean, so when you talk about how hard you can push it, the prosecutor has all kinds of ways of pushing it as hard as they want to. And this prosecutor, I will never forget that it was a beautiful thing. He said, y'all just do what you think is right. And what it told me that if they don't tell them to kill, people are not going to kill.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation H. Westbound 40 at Laclede Station, a disabled vehicle on the exit ramp, partially blocked there. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park and 270, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Lindbergh, look for normal traffic now. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, that congestion has been cleared. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and Washington Elizabeth, you've got some congestion going on there, but everything else looks pretty good. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect slow traffic going into downtown. That's basically due to the final onslaught of the morning rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, showers likely, cooler with a high only around 50. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. And Saturday, partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day, a high in the lower 60s. Currently, we have 42 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else? Indeed, washers, dryers, refrigerator, stoves, washers, dryers, refrigerator, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union and tell them I told you to.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and before we get to back to you, Jamal, I want to thank our one of our sponsors, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Award. We really appreciate the financial support that you give to make certain that this show stays on the air. Thank you so much, Church of God in Christ and Bishop Ward. We need that to keep the show on the air. So what else do we have, Jamal?
And just another shout-out to Bishop Ward, who gave us an opportunity to talk at their district meeting, which is, you know, all
a
of these.
A huge big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge big deal. And Vera and her husband, Bishop Thomas, went and made a presentation. And so Bishop Ward set that up for us. And so
Excellent.
We really, really appreciated that because that's another entree into the denomination that, you know, somebody's got to hold your hand and take you through there. You just can't walk up in there and say, hey, I want to talk to you. And so thank you, Bishop Ward, for making that happen.
And it's a powerful statement to take, or statement to make, and a position to take, because there are churches out there that are concerned about what they perceive may be some political ramifications of taking a position like this. So we have to really, really embrace those that are fearless enough to come to the public and say, this is our stance on this. You know, this is what we support, and we want to be connected to something that supports what we believe in. And yeah. And that's a wonderful thing.
That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, I know he's been supportive of the show financially, but he took another step and really kind of opened up that district meeting to us so that the other bishops could hear the story and hear it actually straight from the mouths of the parents of Reggie Thomas.
Excellent.
That was beautiful. We have been collecting, Liz, and of course Bishop Ward is on that list of what we're calling influential supporters, and they're influential in the fact that they have positions or titles that allow them to have access to people and to processes where when we get ready to make our move, that those folks are lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have over 100 of those individuals, and they're on the website, justiceforreggie.com. But it is such an array of people. And the thing that made me, I mean, I really almost was driven to tears, is that people wouldn't even let me get it out of my mouth. Yes, mm-hmm. whatever you need, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very grateful, because one of the things that I keep telling the campaign, for those people who are doubting Thomas, is we have to get them in the next round. We got plenty of people out there who support this issue. We need to be hitting them. And so these are people who, as soon as I say, can we use your name? Sure, what else you need?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, people allowing their names to be used is not a small thing. Your name is connected to your reputation. It's connected to all of that you believe in and all that you do. So I do not take it lightly, nor do I take it lightly when I lend my name. And you know this too,
mm-hmm.
Liz, when
mm-hmm.
people say, can you support this?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. And so, and of course, some people from the very onset have been supportive. I know, for example, Attorney Gerald Christmas, he supported it and also has a petition board in his office right there at Euclid and Delmore. So some people have been very, very active. We've had union people ask me, sit in pages of signatures. So we got union people, we have elected officials, we have business people, all of these organizations. Clergy from all walks of life. And so these are people that are being touched by this story and who are saying, I want justice for Reggie Clemens.
And we have people across the religious spectrum. We have all kinds of denominations that have signed on to this and said, use my name on this case. I want the world to know that this is something that they should pay attention to, and that this is an issue that justice needs to be brought to. But we have businesses on there. We have organizations on there, individuals on there, and people from all across the spectrum. It's really powerful.
It's powerful, and we even have Missouri exonerated. So we have the Steve Tonys, we have the Joe Amrines. I mean, all of them are saying, yes, you know, we know this case, we know what happened to us, and we want justice. And so, and we're not finished yet because we have to keep working. And so, people who, want to lend their name, and I know some people have signed the petition, but we need to find out if we could lift those names up and put them on another list of influential people. So,
well, you know what? Maybe in the course of getting signatures, maybe folks need to be asking if they would be willing to let their lend their name to the list of people that are in opposition or in support of this issue, opposition to the death penalty. Get that list going like that.
And we're starting to do that. For example, I know when what's my brother out in New York? Reverend Al Sharpton signed the list. Somebody mm-hmm. asked him, well, could we lift your name up and on a bigger list? And he said, sure. So people who are signing it, if folks can remember to say, hey, here's somebody whose name could mean more if mm-hmm. we put it on another list. And so we want to do that. But also, if people are part of an organization, a business, you are elected official, just give us a call at 367-5959 and say, add my name to the list.
And I think one of the things that also that we should also do is, I had some young people on the show from Riverview Garden School District on Monday, I believe it was. Yeah, Monday, talking about the abuse that they experienced from the Bell Fountain Police Department, that the Bell Fountain Police came out to their high school for their homecoming. They had babies, girls in their prom dresses lying on the ground. They had dogs that bit one of the girls. They used tasers on our children. There was nothing. I mean, the principal was in the mid. One of the seniors told the story of when she was she was the president of the student union organization. I believe I don't think I have the organization straight, but she was president of one of the student organizations, and she also was running the dance, and she performed that night, and she said, why, in the midst of her performance, they pulled everybody out of the school, said, because there were fights going on in the school. And she said, I could look out into the crowd. The principal was in the middle of the crowd out there. There were no fights. There was nothing going on. But there was this reaction to black kids from this white police department that caused these babies to be treated in this way. And the long story of that is to say that, you know, we need to be approaching these young people. I'm a high school senior, and I want my name attached to this because I understand how all of this stuff happens, because I've been a victim of it happening to me. They said that these 17-year-olds were in the studio saying that they were, and the girls described it as, felt up. They were patted down on their way into their prom from these police officers. One of them said, you know, I had on a dress that was so, you know, that was so form-fitting that I could barely zip it up. I had nothing in my hands. Why did they have to put their hands on me to pat me down? She said, I felt like I was being felt up to go into my own dance.
Mm. Mm. And if you remember when we had Fahima Thabit here with American Friends Service, and she said, are male police officers allowed to search females or pat them down? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's yes.
And
people are outraged by that. And then it goes on to say it's a courtesy if they go get a female off. A courtesy.
You know, what kind of country do we live in where that's a courtesy? And these young girls were, as they said, felt up by women officers. They said it wasn't any comfort that it was a woman that was doing me this way, because you can look at me. I'm a 17-year-old girl with my cute little prom dress on. I don't even have a purse. Why you got to put your hands on me?
It's amazing, and I'm hoping that the parents, and not just the parents of those folks who were patted down or organizing to address that situation. Of course, this is not the first time that we've heard about Bell Fountain Neighbors police officers doing some stuff to students there. So that community definitely needs to be organizing.
And this is a way to do that. I mean, it's a step in that direction to be part of something that's already organized.
It's already organized, and you can understand how it's done. and why things are moving in a certain way. And I just think, again, Liz, that we need not wait till trouble comes to our door before we respond. And I know that we really have been trying to create the kind of justice community that in some cases is forced to react, but for the most part has a proactive posture so that we are already on top of what's going to happen and people are already armed and skilled to do things when these injustices happen, because otherwise we just kind of run and then once it's over, that fire is out, then we go back to business as usual. When those individual cases are symptomatic of a huge you know, societal problem. And so unless we really are addressing that, then we'll keep having those individual assaults.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. We're going to talk about some myths about the Reggie case when we come back. Don't go nowhere.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
This is Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU.
Scientists have discovered a way to reanimate dogs that have been dead for 3 hours. They fill you up with salt. They season you is what they do. It's a marinade, for lack of a better way to put it. So I guess realistically speaking, they could do this in China, right? So they fill the dog full of salt water. If it doesn't work out, the dog dies. Hey, you know, General Chow's chicken in the end. It all works out. Something about the zombie dog where you put salt water in them, kill them, and then revive them hours later, and the idea that it's intended for human trials. Who would volunteer for that?
Brett Rosen, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGNU.
Radio Mix. Hola, nueva. This is Radio Mix. Nuevo concepto en radio. La música que te gusta. El toreo que te encanta. Por la nueva de San Luis. Con todos los éxitos del momento. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8 de la noche. Radio Mix. Por el 920 AM. Escucha a través de la red electrónica. En internet. WGNU.net. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I want to remind everybody, don't forget that the International Urban Institute, Saturday at 9 o'clock, the address is 1020 North Taylor. The building, well, it is the Firefighters Building, the Firefighters Institute for Racial Equality. We appreciate their generosity, and we appreciate them allowing us to use their building every Saturday. So that's this Saturday from 9 to 11. and be there. And Jamala, we're going to talk about some myths.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought would be helpful to talk about is as we are collecting these petitions, you know, you engage people and you talk about various things related to the Chain of Rocks Bridge case. And so we've identified three myths that continue to come up. And I know everybody doesn't get a chance to listen to Reggie Thursday. Mm-hmm. In fact, some people that we talked to never heard of WGNU. So that, you know, we have to talk about that, too. But it's interesting when we talk about the fact that the Carey sisters were white and the two young men who were three actually initially were given the death penalty were all African-American. Then the sentiment seems to be for some people, yeah, they need to stop messing with those white girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's said in various ways, you know, well, you know, every time you mess with them, this is what's going to happen. But, you know, we've said, and they need to say it again, obviously, that Reggie, Marlon, nor Tony Richardson knew the Carey sisters before that night. And really, it was only a passing thing that night. So there was no relationship, friendly, intimate, or otherwise, with the Carey sisters before then. And I know that as we talk about the sort of racialized and sexualized components of the story, and it's with other stories as well, that even with the Johnny Briscoe, there was a white woman who allegedly was raped and there was a black man involved. So there are those themes that sort of in our history and in our memory banks that let us know that these are dangerous liaisons. But in this case, the boys did not know the Carey sisters beforehand. So that seems to be a myth that kind of comes up again and again. Was one of them going with these girls or something that comes forth that there was some kind of previous relationship? So that.
And I think that also adds another layer of the tragedy of this, that these young girls are dead, you know, that it was just happen chance that all of them were on the bridge that night. And what a horrible accident. We have Marlon Gray is dead now. We have Reginald Clemens that's sitting on death row right now. And if Jay Nixon has his way, that he would have him dead as well. It's just such a tragedy and on all levels.
On all levels. On all levels.
And then they weren't sitting up on the bridge with Marlon or Reggie or they were sitting up on the bridge with their cousin.
They were sitting with their bridge.
And now they're dead.
Now they're dead. And that leads me to the next myth, which is the petitions that we have where people are signing specifically talk about asking the governor to look more closely into the case. And that's, you know, the words pretty much paraphrase. But people often ask, well, how do you know he's not guilty? Or I don't know that he's not guilty, so I don't want to sign. The petition is saying we want to know the truth. We want Jay Nixon, who's the only person at this point of the case can intervene, and he really can't even intervene until the death date comes down. But certainly right now, after all of the appeals have been exhausted, Matt Blunt, as a governor, is the person that we'll have to appeal to look at this case. So that is not our choice. That is the way that the process is working. So when you sign the petition, you're not saying, oh, I think he's innocent.
You said,
I want to be sure. I want you to slow this process down so that we know exactly, because we already, and we've talked about this for almost the last year, about all of the circumstances and elements of this case that would have you have to scratch your head and think something is not, these pieces aren't fitting together. And so all the petition is saying is that we want to know the truth. And Jay Nixon and Matt Blunt have the power of their offices to make sure that we know the truth. And so that's all the petition is doing. Now, when people say, well, how do you know that he's not guilty, then I can talk about my personal opinion. But the petition itself is only saying we want to know the truth, and Governor Blunt, you have a right and responsibility as the governor to not execute somebody who may be innocent. So that's all the petition is doing. It's an organizing tool to say all of these people that are signing want to know the truth, and you need to make sure that that happens. The other piece of it is there's still unclarity about what the clemency piece is, because, you know, we'll have people call and say, I have an attorney that you need to call, or have you hooked up with the Johnny Cochran, or and this was before he was dead, or have you hooked up? The problem for us right now is not competent attorneys. It's not raising up issues that people may have heard us talk about on the show, because we've talked about a lot of those we've procedurally barred from raising them. So what would be a good point to raise on an appeal, we can't do because the incompetent attorneys at the trial level did not object and therefore preserve that to be appealed. So there's still some unclarity about why can't you do this, why come you can't do that, here's some good attorneys. Those for us are not the issue right now. And certainly if there's an attorney out there that's willing to kind of be a part of the think tank, we wouldn't refuse that. But by and large.
And we do have lawyers that are involved in the case.
We're involved in the case.
And have been from the beginning.
Have been from the beginning, or should I say have been in since the appeal process.
Right.
And they are in contact with, you know, Missouri attorneys who have done death penalty cases for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. So they have expanded. But again, that's not to say that we can't add some more to the brain trust. But for us, a competent attorney right now is not necessarily going to solve our dilemma. What we have to do is to force this governor and the powers to be on the state to look at this issue. And so we've been trying to do that a number of ways. Last week we had Alderman Kennedy on, who will be introducing the moratorium resolution. We'll be able to take that resolution when it gets passed up to Jeff City as a way to continue to organize and galvanize support for a moratorium on the state level.
And I think that this is an important point to remind people that the purpose of this show, Justice for Reggie, is to add a component. One of the purposes is to add a component to the campaign of this. This is not a not just a petition drive. This is not just a radio show. This is not just working with the attorneys. This is an entire campaign, and a campaign consists of many different components. And one of the components are the petitions. One of the components is this constant information out there, and then there are other components to it as well.
Exactly.
The meetings that you have every week, the organization, organizing that you're doing, the getting this issue up to Jefferson City.
And the other piece, Liz, is that we talked about not just running from issue to issue, but how do we deal with a societal problem
mm-hmm.
that is not just affecting a Reggie Clemens, but affecting young men in this state in particular. And so we have to talk about a moratorium if we're going to even address this in a holistic way. Yes, this is about Reggie Clemens, but there are many other folks on death row and many, many, many more who are a part of the criminal justice system who don't need to be there.
And if people that haven't gotten to death row because their crimes were not murder, but they're still in jail for the same reasons that Reginald Clemens is in jail right now. And I wonder about Ali, about him getting tased all those times.
Wow.
I mean, that is part of the story that we tell every Thursday.
Yes.
About the systems that exist and the energies behind those systems.
And people still have a certain amount of naivety about the criminal justice system. And I think some of it is that it's really, really hard, Liz, for people to understand why somebody would do that.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have done something to provoke that. Now, that boy showed his back. And he was tased numerous times. And if you know how much voltage is coming through one, you know you only need a couple if, in fact, you feel like you've been threatened. So what is the purpose of tasing over and over and over again?
Because you like it. I mean, that's my theory. Because you like it.
You know, you're having a bad day, and somebody, that's going to be their bad day. Because you're going to take it out on them.
You know, it's just what kind of person could how far do you have to disconnect yourself from humanity to want to do that to another human being?
Absolutely.
And that's all part of the discussion of this campaign, because all of those things are interlinked.
Interlinked. And don't wait for it to happen to you. Start to organize and mobilize so that we create a more just, a more humane system that all of us, whether we're guilty or innocent, can come out on the other end and say, I got justice.
And the phone number again.
The phone number for people to get involved, or if you have questions, you want to add your name to the list of influentials, is 367-5959. Or you can go to the website, www.justiceforreggie.com.
367-5959, 367-5959. Jamala Rogers, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz,
and
again.
We'll see you same time, same place next
same
week.
Same time, same place.
All righty then. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me for my last hour. I will be back after this.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Tell me, brother, how
good. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU and its citizen voice.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's one of the defining issues in next month's election, but President Bush says the U.S. must stay the course when it comes to Iraq. He explained his reasons why in an exclusive interview with ABC News. Luis Schiavone has details.
President Bush told ABC's George Stephanopoulos there could be an enemy strategy to create a public fatigue with the war in Iraq, similar to the loss of confidence experienced during the Tet Offensive of the Vietnam War.
There's certainly a stepped-up level of violence. And we're heading into an election.
So they're trying to influence the elections?
Could be. I don't know. I don't have any intelligence that says that.
But Mr. Bush says he's convinced Al-Qaeda aims to inflict casualties so massive that U.S. forces leave Iraq. Louise Schiavone, ABC News, Washington.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she won't tell South Korea or China how they should enforce U.N. sanctions on North Korea. But at a news conference today in Seoul, Rice called on all nations to cooperate and warned Pyongyang not to carry out a second nuclear test. Walmart is expanding its discount drug program to 14 more states.
We're thrilled to be able to roll out our prescription drug program to 14 new states. People in New York, Texas, New Jersey, and others will be able to get $4 generic prescription medication.
That's Walmart's Executive Vice President Bill Simon. The House Ethics Committee could get an earful today as it continues its investigation into former lawmaker Mark Foley and the emails that he sent Teenage Pages.
A key witness in the investigation is Republican leader John Boehner, expected to tell Ethics Committee investigators under oath when he learned about the Mark Foley problem and what he did about it. Later, the committee will hear from the former House clerk, Jeff Crandall. He was in charge of the Page program and other key areas of House administration for 7 years.
That's ABC's Vic Ratner in Washington. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 3 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off 2. This is ABC News.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy 4 select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
Travelocity presents the Gigantonormous Sale.
Holiday, here I come.
Save $100 instantly on your vacation.
Smashing!
Plus, get $200 off your next one.
Cha-ching, bada-bing!
Hurry, save up to $300.
300 buckaroos? That's mucho moolah!
Book now. Sale ends November 16th. Restrictions apply. For details and other great deals, visit Travelocity.com or AOL keyword travel. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
This brings a whole new meaning to the idea of a die-hard sports fan. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
I've got baseball in my soul.
Some baseball fanatics say they just die for a World Series championship. The Major League and the Michigan Casket Maker are hoping to accommodate them, at least in the afterlife. Fans of a half-dozen teams can soon order caskets or cremation urns with team logos on them. Eternal Image hopes to expand the everlasting branding to all 30 teams, because for many fans, baseball is like a religion.
Come on to baseball.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
No, it's not okay to wait until January. Pediatricians across the country say the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention messed up big time yesterday when it said that your kids could get a flu shot in January and they'd still be protected. There's a shortage of shipments of the vaccine. You're more likely to get one at a drugstore than you are at your doctor's office. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, three suspects faced more than 80 charges in a long series of car break-ins in South County. Stephanie James of Barnhart, Dennis Townsley of Richmond Heights, and Ernest Pennington of South County are charged with multiple counts of felony stealing, misdemeanor stealing, and property damage. Police say the three broke into cars around South County between early April and mid-May, taking items like radar detectors and stereos. Pennington is behind bars on unrelated charges. James and Townsley aren't in custody. The Missouri Highway Patrol will conduct a third Operation Protect in a St. Louis area construction zone today. Sergeant Al Notham says the goal of Operation Protect is to get motorists to slow down in all highway construction zones.
We do an operation where we don't write any tickets and our job is done. We hope that happens. You know, we don't enjoy writing these expensive tickets to people. No one wants those.
Notham hopes that if people learn about the traffic enforcements, they'll obey the speed limit in all construction zones around the state. He says that will help keep highway workers, troopers, and motorists safe. Two St. Louis women are charged with bankruptcy fraud in separate cases. Marquita Hawkins faces two federal charges of bankruptcy fraud. Federal law requires people to receive credit counseling before filing for bankruptcy, and prosecutors say Hawkins allegedly provided false certificates to two people claiming they'd had credit counseling. In another case, Eileen Shepard faces multiple charges, including identity theft and misuse of a Social Security number. Shepard allegedly used a false Social Security number to commit bankruptcy fraud. Finally this hour, a local university will be on display this weekend. Maryville University is holding its must-see Maryville event on Saturday. Maryville's Marketing and Public Relations Director Mark Weinstein says this is a great opportunity for high school students to see what Maryville's all about. Call the Office of Admissions at 314-529-9350 to register for the event. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. The Illinois Lottery's new Millionaires Club instant ticket has 30 top prizes of $1 million. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Have fun. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound Manchester at Hutchinson, there's a report of an accident involving a pedestrian that's been struck by a vehicle. Otherwise, most all your traffic is subsiding this hour, basically due to the morning rush. The only thing you can expect is some delays, some final delays on the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the Eads Bridge and King Bridge as you're getting into downtown for the final morning rush. Please use caution and slow down in the work zones this morning. There are a number of area road constructions going on around the St. Louis Metropolitan, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and Metro East. to just use caution as you roll through those work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. October is Fall Car Care Month. Prepare your Toyota for the winter by visiting your St. Louis area service centers for tire inspection and winterization service. Toyota, a smart choice. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Showers likely today, cooler with a high around 50 this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Friday, partly cloudy, not quite as cool with a high in the lower 60s, and Saturday, partly sunny in the morning and afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the lower 60s. Currently, we have 42 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
To the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. What is the October surprise? What is the October surprise? Some folks are saying that it has to do with Saddam Hussein. October surprise is going to be the conviction of Saddam Hussein. Is that what they're saying? An Iraqi court trying Saddam Hussein for the killing of Shiite villagers in the 1980s could deliver a verdict on November 5th. When is election? When is election? When is election? When is election? November 7th. Huh. Huh. A possible death sentence for Saddam Hussein and his top lieutenants on November 5th? 2 days before the midterm elections? Huh. Huh. You think that would take the headlines for, a couple of days? Think that would take the election, take the headlines a couple of days? Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. And we have to ask the question of whether or not Karl Rove is weighing in on this. And you have to ask the question of why would they do that? You have to ask the question of why they would do that. And why, and then you have to ask the other question of why do they think that that would work? Well, let me give you some possibilities. Looking at the polling figures, because they worship at the feet of the polls, they being Karl Rove. There were some spikes in the polls. One, the day that Saddam Hussein was captured. Okay. Two, the purple finger election. The third, the day that Zakawi was killed. Zakawi was killed. Do you hear me? If you are making your decision on how the polls are going, whether or not you get a bump, if you got a bump in the polls when Saddam Hussein was captured, even though the United States didn't capture him, didn't find him, you got another bump in the polls when you got Purple Fingers election, and you got another bump in the poll when Zakawi was killed. Why wouldn't you try to get a conviction for the death penalty for Saddam Hussein on November 5th? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Are you burdened by the heavy load of life? Then be listening every Thursday night at 8 for the Prayer, Praise, and Worship broadcast presented by Bishop Stephen Hamilton of the Emmanuel Christian Church. Each week, Bishop Hamilton brings you inspirational messages to help you make another day's journey. That's Prayer, Praise, and Worship, brought to you by the Emmanuel Christian Church of St. Louis, every Thursday night at 8, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Health St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Aleem.
Yeah, how you doing, sister?
I'm outstanding.
I want to get your legal opinion. Is it rape case situation? They had the interview with the three guys on 60 Minutes this past Sunday. And your legal opinion. Now, the prosecutor... Well, all the guys tested negative for DNA, rather. They didn't find any DNA. They're trying to discredit this young woman by saying that she changed her story. Then they get her friend who was dancing with her to come on TV and say that the young lady was not telling the truth. The reason why I believe the young lady is telling the truth by the simple fact that she was intoxicated, and that when a person is intoxicated, they experience memory loss, blackouts, they cannot piece events and things together when they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Who was intoxicated?
The young lady that was the dancer.
Why do you say that she was intoxicated?
Well, that's what they said in the interview. She was drinking.
Okay, that's what who said in the interview?
On TV.
No, who said that she was intoxicated? The people that are accused of raping her?
The young lady herself said she was taking, well, she didn't say it on, she said she was taking, she took a lot of muscle relaxers, and she was drinking before the dance.
Okay, but who said she was intoxicated? Drinking?
Well, that's what the report, Ed Bradley said that. Ed Bradley said that, and then the rest
okay,
of the...
Okay, I'm going lawyer on you, okay?
I'm trying to be specific.
Ed Bradley said that she was intoxicated?
According to the report.
He used that word, intoxicated.
Right. She was drinking and she was...
No, that's a different thing.
Right.
I'm trying to be get clear. Right. Ed Bradley used the word intoxicated.
Yes, ma'am. I believe he did.
Okay. I'm going to have to go back and look at it
By her saying she was drinking, I just automatically said intoxicated.
And I drink. That doesn't mean that I am drunk.
Okay.
You know?
I understand. So now I'm saying I believe the young lady.
Okay. And I'm saying irrespective of whether you believe her or not, in terms of establishing whether or not she was intoxicated or not, I haven't seen the evidence of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
But go ahead. Go ahead.
Right. But I'm saying if they were trying to say that by her not having her story correct, I say maybe by her drinking, that might have had some influence on her memory. You know, even if she wasn't fully intoxicated, some levels of drinking can actually, kind of.
Well, I, as a defense attorney,
mm-hmm.
if somebody says that one of my witnesses
mm-hmm.
was impaired by drinking
right.
and it's an ID case,
mm-hmm.
then I lose.
Okay.
Okay, so if drinking is not a defense to her to any kind of ID case.
Okay, I understand. That's why I'm trying to get your legal opinion, because there's people out there saying, well, didn't no DNA come back on these guys, so therefore...
But when in America has that happened? That simply because a rape did not happen because there was no DNA.
Right.
People can wear prophylactics.
Exactly.
You know, people cannot leave any DNA.
Right.
You know, and you could be holding somebody down to facilitate. We don't know. I mean, I don't know specifically if each one of them are charged with actually the act of rape or acting with another to facilitate a rape. I don't know what the charges are. But the fact that there is an absence of DNA does not prove anything in
right.
terms of whether or not the crime of rape took place.
And I understand that, too. That's why I'm asking your legal opinion, because I don't like the fact that they're trying to discredit this young woman.
Well, what's fascinating is to watch these, to watch them have access to the television as a defendant in a case, and to be able to tell their case like this is extraordinary. It's
right.
extraordinary. And you know what? I saw parts of it. I have to go back and look at the first part of it. But I saw parts of it, and it just was so fascinating to me to hear them whine. It felt like whining that was coming from them. And I understand you're charged with the crime, but my whole life is ruined because of this, particularly the whining coming from the guy that is convicted of terrorizing a gay man. I mean, the redheaded one is a convicted felon.
Mm.
And did Ed Bradley bring that up?
No, they didn't.
How come they didn't bring that up? If they were going to tell the story about who these accused rapists are, why didn't he bring up the, I would never do anything like this? Well, you've been convicted of brutalizing another human being.
And just think of all the young black, innocent black men that have lives been ruined based on a white woman hollering rape.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Marty.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, I was listening to you talk about the spikes that come up during, you know, elections and during the polls and so forth. And, you know, I was listening to how a lot of people are, one, discounting the electronic polls because I feel that those things are being manipulated. Two, I think that either they're going to try to say that they caught Bin Laden or they've got his body or something like that, or they're going to do something like you were saying at that particular time to sway the Johnny Six-Pack Republican back to voting Republican or not looking at everything with both eyes, you know. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, the media, since the media is so controlled, just like what you were talking about recently with the last caller, I think since the media is so controlled and they got the media and the television media in their back pocket so much, I think that's one of the problems with these elections and everything, because everything can be so manipulated.
It's going to be a fascinating election. I was watching the debate between Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent, and it is nasty. Jim Talent has gotten nasty, and nasty in a personal respect, and nasty in the perspective of the way that the Republicans run their campaigns. Why don't you release your tax reports? Well, I have. You asking for my husband's tax returns, I don't file jointly with him, so why doesn't your husband release his tax returns? Instead, you keep saying, why don't I release my tax returns? That is a dirty, dirty trick and a dishonest thing. If Jim Talent wants Claire McCaskill's husband's tax returns, then he should say, I want your husband's tax returns, instead of saying, I want Claire McCaskill's. He has Claire McCaskill's tax returns. What he doesn't have is her husband's. So why doesn't he say, I want your husband's tax return? He doesn't, because he wants to perpetuate a lie out there about the candidate.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's a lot of backdoor backstabbing. But the thing is, what really showed me what this McCaskill and Talent thing was about, I was up Sunday, and they had both of them on TV. And McCaskill, she really just made Jim Talent look, he just really looked bad when he was talking about, what do you think about this president? I forgot the Sunday television show that they were on.
Meet the Press.
Right, and they were up, and this guy was shooting some questions, and a lot of times the announcer, sometimes I look at him, I don't particularly care for him, but
Tim
this
Russell.
Particular time, he didn't hold back, and the way the guy was looking, he was looking very, very bad, and if anybody was looking at that show, this guy was wavering, waffling all over the place.
Well, let's not say this guy. Say his name. You're talking about Jim Talent. Was looking.
Jim Talent.
All
Jim
right.
Talent.
All right.
He was looking sad.
All right. Thanks
all
for
right.
your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up and get to me. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Great deals, great location, great choices. All that and so much more. You know what? You need a treadmill. You need a leaf mulcher. You need a special kind of hammer that lasts for a million years. Well, get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You want to know what the Grand Old Party stands for? State investigators in Santa Fe, California, where it looks like anybody remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger is running for the re-election as governor, state of California, one of those races that's kind of under the wire, or under the radar, that is. Well, some Republicans in California have sent out letters to thousands of Orange County Hispanics telling them, warning them, that they will go to jail or will be deported if they vote next month. There is a Republican campaign that is sending out these letters. The Los Angeles Times and the Orange County Register reported yesterday that the investigation appeared to be focused on the campaign of Tan Nguyen, Nguyen, Vietnamese Republican, who's challenging Representative Democrat Loretta Sanchez. The letter, written in Spanish, tells the recipients, you are advised that your residence in this country is illegal, or if you are an immigrant, voting in an election is a crime that could result in jail time. What's wrong with that, some of you may be asking. Well, the fact of the matter is that immigrants who are naturalized U.S. citizens can vote. We're talking about 14,000 letters sent out to 14,000 voters. How did they find out? The owner of the Huntington Beach mailing company, they're called Mailing Pros, says he was hired to do the mailings. He didn't know what they said. He didn't know that any laws were being broken. He gave the name of the investigators, the name of the person who hired him. He said, I don't know what the letter said. I can't read Spanish. I don't know what the content was. This is an obnoxious, grotesque piece of work. It's a criminal. Whoever did this should be prosecuted. And the letterhead resembles that of a number of anti-immigration groups in California. See how far folks will go to win elections? See how far folks will go to win elections. Yeah, it's appropriate that you denounce stuff like this. But the issue is that the atmosphere that exists for this kind of stuff to be done in. There is the byproduct of this anti-immigration movement is racism. It's a byproduct of that. How can the United States of America, that prides itself on being the land of immigrant, be anti-immigration? How could that be? 1-877-920-WGNU. And it's not the only Republican effort to get votes going on out here. Even though this article I'm getting ready to share with you is an important story and says the right thing in terms of reporting the story, but listen to the headline that's attached to it. Overseas email on Foley angers Democrats. Huh? Check this out. The story is that the State Department sent out an email advisory on Tuesday to U.S. citizens in Iraq, alerting them about Mark Foley's resignation. This message went out to all citizens registered in the United States, registered at the U.S. Consul in Baghdad, reminding them that if they are Florida voters who live in the 16th Congressional District, a vote for Foley is actually a vote for his Republican replacement. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that? It came from the State Department. How lovely of them. It hasn't even been decided in Florida that you can do that. Huh. Huh. It's nice connections if you can get them. They sent out, the State Department sent out an email advisory. And now, the State Department didn't send out the flap jackets that they needed. They didn't send that stuff out to our boys and girls over there. They haven't protected them like that, but if they need a Republican majority maintained, oh, they're gonna find a way to get the word out to our boys and girls. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. Are you on a speakerphone or something?
No.
Okay. Turn your radio down, please.
Thank you. I just wanted Oh, I'm so sorry.
All right.
I was in a different room.
All right.
I just need the telephone number to get a McCaskill sign in my yard.
Okay. I believe it's 918-VOTE.
918-VOTE.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Get one for your neighbor, too.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up, get to me. I'm just kind of. It's interesting that they need to have a website directed or a website where people just gather together the Republican dirty tricks as we get closer and closer to this election. We need to just be done with it, because I'm going to tell you about what Ken Blackwell, the black man that's running for governor in Ohio, how low he has gone to try and win this election. They just need a site. This is the dirt that they shovel when they're trying to keep their majority. DirtTheyShovel.com. Al, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let you know the guy in California in Orange County, that name is pronounced Wen, like W-H-E-N.
Okay, Tad Wen.
Yeah,
okay.
I know you like to pride yourself on being correct.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I wanted to make a comment also about Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent. I saw their debate at Springfield. I didn't see the Kansas City debate, but she's wearing that guy out. He's like the rest of the Republicans up there in Washington with that dumb look on their face. They don't have a clue of what to do, and they will do anything to stay in there and keep all this big money going. And it's just ridiculous.
It is really, really, really bad. It is really I think that the polling for Jim Talent has been, people have been surprised about how bad he is.
Yeah, I believe that also. People really, you know, a lot of people voted for this guy, you know, friends of mine, people I know.
Well, he only won by 1%.
Right.
Okay, I mean, the election against Gene Carnahan was only a 1% win.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, he didn't get in there because there was any mandate for him to be there.
That's right. And I'm proud of all the big endorsements that Claire McCaskill does have, and I'm glad that they didn't go to Jim Talent, like especially education and teachers and, you know, even law enforcement, you know, as far as that goes. But
it's going to be a very, very, very interesting race, and it's all going to depend upon the amount of turnout that we get.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Know?
Hey, listen, everybody, vote.
That's fact.
Please go vote.
That's fact. Thanks
right,
for
thanks
your
a
call.
Lot, Liz.
You take care.
You too.
1-877-920-WGNU. Get up or get to me. Ted.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I have two matters with you. One, I have a wire photo of Karl Rove at the very radical La Raza convention in Los Angeles last July. Had you heard anything on that?
I have not.
Well, it's in the September 10th issue. The American Free Press newspaper.
Can you email that to me, Ted?
Well, perhaps. It's like I said, there. I was waiting for some news organization because, you know, you keep hearing how pro or anti-Bush the media is. Well, if that's the case, why would they be covering this up? And like I said, it's a wire photo, and he was there speaking at this convention when their public position, at least a lot of the Republicans, that they need to close off the border. And so when you see this big contradiction, the other thing I have, the other matter, if I can, it was covered again in this American Free Press newspaper, which is out of Washington, D.C., about Cynthia McKinney. You are aware of a lot of Jewish money in both of the two out of the last three elections went in from around the country against her. You are aware of
that. I've talked about that on my show.
Well, okay. And so what I'm hoping, here's my real motive for calling you today on this. With what happened against her, because she opposed the war on very articulate, good reasons, etc., if you would bring on Michael Collins Piper or Chris Bolin, who, by the way, was beat up by cops in Chicago. Chris Bolin is a national reporter for this American Free Press, and there's no question now they very much believe, in, including a retired police official for the Hoffman Estates, Illinois Police Department, that Michael Chertoff of Homeland Security was involved in this, basically ordering this beating up of Chris Bolin. These people put out a lot of good stories concerning Cynthia McKinney, and at least on her war stand, that is, and on the Iraq situation. I'm hoping that you would cash in on that nugget.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go to AmericanFreePress.net, and I'm not saying you'll agree with everything they have to say, but they've been right on the mark. They're the only newspaper in the country that Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, there's a wire photo with him. There's a front-page photo on their paper with their senior reporter, Michael Collins Piper, who, by the way, has written three books lately. He's the one I'm hoping you'll have on. With Chris Bolin. He has written The High Priest of War, where, ma'am, he does a dossier on all of the behind-the-scenes characters. You've heard of Richard Pearl, of course, and these people that were orchestrating the war. Wolfowitz is now with the World Bank. He does a dossier, and their ties to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which was the one, of course, that gave the information to Hoover, spying on the King and the Kennedys, etc. So,
very good. I will definitely take a look at it. Thank you, Ted.
Very good. Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Quality and people mattered when the government was on our side? This November, you can vote to have the government on our side again by voting for Democrat Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senator and the Democratic team. Together, we will fight
for minority-owned businesses to get a fair share of federal contracts.
For a higher minimum wage, working families deserve to have ends meet.
For the best prescription drugs at the cheapest prices.
To provide a safety net for the people who need it most. Children and seniors.
To keep Missouri jobs in Missouri.
This is a critical year for Democrats in Congress. We need Claire McCaskill in the Senate and Democrats in office at all levels. Let's elect a government that'll fight for equality and fairness for a change.
I'm Claire McCaskill, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the Missouri Democratic Party and the Claire McCaskill for Senate campaign, and authorized by the Claire McCaskill for Senate campaign.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen, letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then. Everything the engineer would move, one day the engineer wanted a bite to eat.
He left the monkey sitting on the... Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
I flew like a butterfly. Sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it. Lord, I can take it. I'm done. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the...
Welcome back, welcome back. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. This is Liz Brown, and my number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
Kevin, good morning.
I like that previous call. He was talking about the American Free Press. Are they online?
AmericanFreePress.net, I believe is what he said.
Okay, thank you. I love what he was talking about, Piper Michael Collins. He's right about Israel being involved in John F. Kennedy's murder. You have a nice day.
All right, take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Ike.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, I know I was going to talk about Jim Callum when he was talking with Claire McCaskill. Looked like he was looking down and looking away when she was talking to him. I don't think his head stayed down and high until he seen the president, but the man was getting confused up there. He was very uncomfortable to me.
He looked very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable, and he was like he lost his last lip or something. I said, what you looking for, man? Look at her in the face. There's no eye contact between her, him, and Claire McCaskill.
He behaves really, really astounding. It's just an astounding way.
Because this woman was to the point she wasn't throwing the knives at nobody. This man, everything he said was so negative.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just stayed at home.
Yeah,
I think he hurt himself. I think he's gone, and I hope he's be gone.
Mm.
But another thing, too, I'd be glad when the White House get have black or brown folks and this lower government here in Missouri get black and start sending our own people up there to Washington. Something got to change because we're tired of going around here, you know, depend on everybody. We need to start taking care of business. But I've been here all my life, Liz, and I know them all. Been there, like I was talking about the mayor, Bosley, he could have made his mark there if he had took care of business right. And that was the only chance you ever get. Now he's just forgotten about now.
All right.
But you reap what you sow.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. T.A.
Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, Liz, Claire won again. We don't even have to talk any further. This guy is, he had his 4 years in, taking over for Gene Carnahan. He hasn't done squat.
Well, I think, and I just have to say this one more time, T.A., because I really think that at least this is what strikes me every time I see Jim Talent in a debate. It's like, you were the senator for Missouri?
You look weak.
You look weak. You really, physically, you look weak up there. The way that you're able to articulate, you look weak. So the whole election turns on whether or not Claire McCaskill's husband gives up his tax returns? Is that why you're running for office? Because you think it's important that Claire McCaskill's husband gives up his tax returns? That's crazy.
It's a political ploy to get her off message. That's all it is. Defend something that doesn't need to be defended.
I want to say it one more time. The guy who's the United States Senator for the state of Missouri thinks the most important issue for the citizens of Missouri is whether or not Claire McCaskill's husband releases his tax returns? You are disconnected with reality.
Let me say this, Liz. I was reading, listening to a news report on on Coral Road, and they were saying that, you know, the Democrats don't have anything sold up yet because they still have $100 million in their war chest. And they're going to come out with Al Burroughs blazing.
Oh, yeah.
This last 2 weeks of the campaign, Democrats better get ready to respond and not let these people take them off message.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to respond. I don't know how much we have in our war chest as being as Democrats, but you know the Republicans got a lot of money to bring up a lot of dirt. And the only thing that's really going to slow them down this season, they got so much stuff to clean up themselves, they might not even be able to respond to make the accusation, because every time you look around, it's another politician in the Republican Party that's corrupted.
Fair enough. And it's true. I mean, it would in a normal election cycle, when there aren't these many distracting things, we have the war, their execution of this war, we have the Mark Foley issue that hasn't gone anywhere, we have the corruption of their members that hasn't gone anywhere. What can they distract us with?
They can't say nothing about sex. They can't say nothing about bribery.
Yeah.
They can't say nothing about the war. I don't know what they can come up with, but they'll come up with something.
Well, the what I'm seeing from Kenneth Blackwell in Ohio, he's running behind about double digits. He wants to be the Republican, a black Republican governor of the state of Ohio. He's attempting to call his opponent a pedophile supporter.
Oh,
that's what he's working with. That's what he's working with. Thanks for your call, TN. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Max.
Good morning, fellow class warrior.
Good morning.
We, as Democrats, or people left of center, have been accused for some time of class envy and being and fighting in class warfare. And, of course, we know that the opposite is true. They've been practicing class warfare on us. But I want to get to the talent campaign. Last night in the debate, Talent went after Claire McCaskill again about her finances, her husband's wealth, etc., etc. This is coming from the crowd who constantly accuses us all of practicing class warfare. It was done to her when she ran against Matt Blunt. You know, like there was something wrong that upper middle class or even wealthy people are building a swell house in Kirkwood. That's what people do in their class. Jim Talent is no poor man. You know, these are the, you know, I just wish the Democrats would throw class warfare back on the Republicans. They've been practicing it on us now for years. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And again, I want to underscore the most important thing for Jim Talent, who has been up in Washington for years, decades, been up in Washington for over a decade. The most important thing that he thinks that the citizens of Missouri need an answer to is what the tax returns are of Claire McCaskill's husband. That's what you think we want to hear about? That's what you think is important that we get to the bottom of? That's the list. That's on your list of things to do for the citizens of the state of Missouri? How about, I don't know, maybe getting some flab jackets for the soldiers in the Iraq War? How about, I don't know, there are tens of thousands of hungry Missourians that rely upon food stamps. How about voting for food stamps? Oh, I don't know. There are thousands and thousands of Missourians that want to, what do you say, raise the minimum wage a little bit? If we're going to talk about finances, let's talk about finances of someone that matters. Us. How on earth does Claire McCaskill's husband's tax return have anything to do with me? Or you? Why? And then you have to ask yourself the question that Max, the last caller, raised about, so if being wealthy is problematic, then shouldn't we get rid of George Bush and Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and all of them who have begun and Frist and Newt Gingrich? Mary.
Yeah, what we need to do now is just get with the telephone calls. All of us need, well, we need to make a list, at least 10 things, maybe it could be 10 and very important, potent statements that could be made, and we can call 10 other people, and those people can call 10 others, and go in that way.
Yes, ma'am.
And then to remind people, just the things that have been mentioned in the last 5 minutes. There are other things can be said, but just what has been mentioned, what town is doing, what Rove has set them up to do, talking about people, and just and tell them to shut down, to just don't listen to. There's a way that, and I'm not trying to say it right now exactly how it should be done, but there's a way that can be done, and then we make telephone calls.
You know,
I'm just excited about what telephone calling will do, because Republicans do it all the time. They have a network set up to focus on the family and everybody else that they can, and this guy, they have all, like you said, they met with the those people on the radio announcers.
That's right.
They have a plan, and they execute it. That's why they're doing that in why it's being done in Ohio, and then this guy here in Missouri, talent here in Missouri, that, you know, trying to talk about people. So let's shut it down by coming up with some statements of our own that we can call other folks on, so that we can call, you know, we keep talking to each other and talking to others, so that we can set up a way to counteract what they're doing.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
All right, Mary. Listen, folks, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me. Below
I
me.
Think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.